That sounds good. Oh yeah, what you're about to hear is powered by the men of the square table, who want you to know that the garage fridge is for beer only. Duh. Miller Lite. Good call.
Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, virtual Danny Bonaducci.
It's the Danny Bonaducci Show.
Jeez, if it was Danny Bonaducci Show, you'd think he'd show up once in a while.
Wow.
That is the greatest story I have ever heard.
Now, Danny should be walking in any moment now. I saw him out in the parking lot.
Oh, you saw him. I will tell you this, Adam. He made an appearance during my date last night.
That's a big bitch.
In a very unusual way.
Really?
Yes.
Showed up during your date.
He didn't show up.
Ah, they showed a rerun of Breaking Bonaducci or a Partridge Family reunion show during your date?
It was the weirdest thing ever, and I'll wait till he gets here, but I'll just say this.
I dazzled those front pockets myself.
I got up to go to the bathroom, and when I got back, my date was reading a page-long handwritten note, and I said, "What is that?" He said, "This is a letter from Danny Bonaducci." I swear. It was completely bizarre.
You know, it's weird. Danny's got a motor in him, to say the least. No sleeves, but a tremendous motor. And I am a guy who gets tons of things done. I have a pretty good motor in me. I don't seem like it. I always seem like I'm moving at a very slow pace. But I always have five projects going. I will be doing a radio show, writing a screenplay, and
producing a show and remodeling
a house.
Doing a movie.
At the same time. Quite often, but yet I have almost no energy for anyone else and their dates and handwritten notes. You know, all the energy goes into is stuff that moi is into. And I know that sounds bad, but I'm just admitting it. I realize I have a motor, but I have no motor for other people's business. Which isn't to say I don't care about you and don't hope the date goes great. But the second I say goodbye to you and you go off to your date and I go off to my remodel, I start writing notes to myself about what I need for the remodel.
Sure.
That is amazing. Now, what did the note say?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not sure because I tried to get it out of this guy's grubby little dinner pickers, but I couldn't get it out of his hands.
Dinner pickers. And when you say this guy...
This is the MySpace guy.
The MySpace guy. Yeah. All right. Here comes Bonaducci now. And he's wearing tennis shoes, too.
So something,
something's wrong. If I was writing a book, I'd say I saw him wearing the K-Swiss, and I knew we were in for a long day.
I can't believe you noticed that.
Somebody stole your boots.
No, I go to the gym before I come to work, and I pack up all my stuff.
Hold on. You're working out now?
It is more unlikely or likely that I would forget my scrotum than I would forget my 3-inch heels.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm going to be this size all day.
I don't mind it on you. It's just like once, you know what it's like when a guy gets
it. Yeah, it's like I came in black.
I'll tell you, when a guy gets a uniform going, it sort of becomes a uniform. Danny wears cowboy boots and bedazzled jeans. And you know what it's like? It's like once in a while, remember your kid, you'd go shopping and you'd see a school teacher and they're on their day off and the guy's wearing tennis shoes and jeans. You're like,
freaks you out.
Mr. Hanson?
Yeah. And he goes, it's Bob. No, it's not.
Oh my God. No, Mr. Bob. It's Mr. Bob. It's not. It's either Mr. Hanson or it's Mr. Bob. It's not Bob in blue jeans wearing tennis shoes. And who's your male buddy? Oh my God. No. No!
We actually called them a companion.
Seeing Bob over here with his male buddy shoes on.
I'm not kidding. I'm mortified.
What happened?
I'm thinking about putting a bounty out. Just saying, go buy me some black cowboy boots and I'll pay you $100.
Do you want my boots?
Whatever they cost.
Well, what happened? Those are too bad. What happened?
I plan it out at night because I got to go because I work out in my basement until it's time, till the gym opens at 5. So at 4:45, I fly and go to my regular gym, do 35 minutes there, and then come here.
So
and
the
I
gym,
readdress in the parking lot.
The gym, which is the Y.
The YMCA.
Right. opens at 5. Right. You've said before, sometimes if you put your nose against the glass, they'll open up a couple minutes early. But how many people are there even that early? I mean, it's employees. Are they even there?
There's people.
They're there.
Yeah, they're there.
So how much would a pair of cowboy boots in your size be worth to you this morning?
Well, here's the big problem. Don't we have lunch with our bosses?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to stare down at me like a child.
That's why I'm asking you, how much is it worth to you? Maybe someone will drop some off.
Well, I do have a wife who doesn't have a job.
Oh. Hmm. You know,
probably
I'm trying...
a better way to put that.
I'm trying to think about the cowboy boots and about how that kind of stuff works. Because once in a while, you'll look down. Like, the shoes you have on now, you have running shoes on
with no laces.
With no laces.
It was because of speed. I'm not wearing these to go anywhere. I would never go anywhere in tennis shoes.
Oh,
so I've ripped the laces out so they go on and on like slippers.
It's funny when you said you have no laces because of speed. I thought you tried to hang yourself when you were high.
No. I tried to sell them for speed. Nobody was
expediency,
that interested.
Expediency, right. Okay, so you would just flip them on. But you get an inch. I think you get about an inch of height out of those things. See, here's why I'm making the argument that might not be so bad. Once in a while, people do a weird math where they do the math and deduct too much or whatever. If I see a guy who's 6'3 and he's wearing cowboy boots, I might go, oh, he's only 5'10 and a half. Meanwhile, I should have only deducted two and a half inches. Maybe he should be 6'1 or 6'1.5, and I over deducted. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, in a weird way, when you walked in, you looked normal.
You looked your normal height.
Look I didn't notice anything in the height department.
I wore the suit and tie to work. It's just because I don't want to be defined by my clothes, because I like a certain style of clothes, but it's rather bedazzled.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that to be, oh, that's Danny Heed's bedazzled.
But what?
So sometimes I wear a suit and tie, like today. These are actually very nice black slacks.
Yes. Now, if you had laces, you'd be fine. But what do you think happened to the boots?
I can't imagine. I mean, I know exactly what happened to them. I just can't imagine it. They were sitting on top of my backpack. My phone is being charged.
Mm-hmm.
The cord leads into my backpack. My phone is actually being charged inside my backpack, so I can't forget it.
Right.
All my world is in that backpack by the end of the night, except the clothes I will wear, which are on top of the backpack, because I'll wear my sweats actually to the gym, come out of the gym still in my sweats, and change in the parking lot.
Right.
I'm guessing I just can't believe it. I'm guessing I moved the cowboy boots off the backpack to pick it up.
And so they're at home.
Reach down to pick them up, but it seems to me, for me to not grab my, I'll just be honest with you, for me to not grab my heels, seems to me like, oh, I forgot gravity this morning.
If you were murdered at the gym, God forbid, murdered at the gym and the police showed up at the house and they saw the cowboy boots in the entry hall, they'd say he was forcibly abducted from this house.
Gretchen said there's no way. No way.
He would never have left of his own volition.
And it is weird when you have
like wallet, anything else. Oh, he forgets that stuff all the time.
Right, not the boots.
But I like Adam's point, though, that maybe the boots actually make people assume you're shorter because they think you're compensating.
There's more to it than just the height, though. I also like the angle of the toe to the point. I think it looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a good. It's the antithesis of the clog on the male or that weird rubber gardening shoe or whatever.
If we had to pick between my cowboy boot and that photographer's weird thing with the pedometer on it,
we had our picture taken.
We had our picture taken yesterday by a photographer that did not disappoint. He was wearing these green or orange plastic gardening clogs, the ones that
like Crocs or whatever they are.
Like Swiss cheese.
Yeah, they're those hipster clogs. I call them gardening clogs because they make these sort of rubber gardening clogs that you wear out in the garden, and then you kick them off on the porch. You don't track in the manure and whatever, and they just stay outside because they're just a chunk of rubber. Somehow those made it onto the street, out of the garden and onto the street. And then this guy had a pedometer on it so he could measure how far he walked in the world's gayest shoes. But the thing that's weird is you'd put a pedometer on a running shoe to see how much ground you covered, possibly a walking shoe, maybe a basketball shoe, but a gardening clog?
My mom at 80 does it on her hip, has that a clip on her hip, to see how far she walks a day, just at her regular tasks. She doesn't exercise. She's just curious how far she walked one day.
I would like to probably be a funny experiment if you took a look at that guy's pedometer thing, because it's like, well, it says he traveled 470 miles today. What happened? He, no way could he. No, no. Some straight guys beat the bejesus out of him with his gardening shoe. Right. And each time, each one up and one down somehow registered a mile.
Here's the horrible thing. I'm sure that guy is straight. Even though he has a ponytail and gardening clogs and a pedometer.
Dear God, no. Well, then he does not have a friend.
They're doing a segment right now on To Catch a Pedometer. Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to do, and they're just going to catch people who wear those things.
Well, I have, with Danny and everybody, here's what I want to say to y'all out there. As far as your car goes, because when I was thinking, it's this situation with us and many people we know, and it's something I've spoken about before, and it's something I yell at my wife every time I go down to the fridge and there's no milk for my coffee at 5:15 in the morning. I always say to her, what I do have is money. What I don't have is time. And I don't want to be held up by 89 cents worth of milk, because that's nothing to me. I'm an idiot if I'm tripping over that. I'm an idiot. Like I say, I go out and I buy 10 nail clippers and I spread them all over the house. There's three in the kitchen. There's one in every bathroom. I throw in my car.
Do it with lighters.
Do it with Kleenex. Do it with floss. Don't buy one thing of floss. You buy 10. Yep. Throw them all over the place. And for that matter, everything. Travel mug. Don't have your lucky one. Have 10 of them.
Right.
Everything that's under $8, buy 10 of them and spread them all over the place. Because you, as someone who's busy, as someone who makes a good living, does not want to be held up by and it's not one of these things where, oh, sure, Corolla, you got tons of money. Well, everyone makes enough money to buy 5 99-cent nail clippers and spread them around.
My lighters are 35 cents at the 76 station, so I buy the box. I buy the display.
I'm going to suggest an extra pair of cowboy boots for here.
That's what I was going to say. As far as your car goes, y'all, take an extra whatever and throw it in your car. Throw the lighter in your car. Hey, you know what's not bad? Next time you're at the said gas station, buy yourself a pair of $5 sunglasses and throw them in your car. Just throw them in, because you will get caught without yours someday on a day when you're driving home and it's just searing your forehead. So extra lighter, extra this, extra that. Extra cowboy boots. If there's something, now that's a higher ticket item, but they're important to you.
I already have 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, 5, 6. Take your car, grab your extra whatever, put a pair of shorts in there. Put a pair of trunks in there, because there will be a time when you're at someone's place and it's whatever, and it's like, hey, we're getting in the pool, and the guy doesn't, and you're like, I got some trunks in the car. I'll throw a swimsuit in there. I'll throw an extra pair of tennis shoes in there in case a ball game, basketball or something breaks out. Cowboy boots, put whatever.
The horse breaks out.
Yeah, that's right. Put something in there and put an extra. Whatever the cowboy boots, the equivalent of Danny's cowboy boots are to you, whether it's chapstick or you're lucky, fill in the blank, put an extra one in your car.
Now, do you assume everyone has Danny's cowboy boots in the sense of glasses, chapstick?
Yeah.
Is there a thing that everyone has to have?
Let's say there's...
They say you can do multiples. I'm like, everybody these days has to have a cell phone. Like, I had a big issue with you last night. That seemed cute. It wasn't.
Well, we're going to cover.
Oh, no.
We're going to cover a tease MySpace date with Danny's mystery note.
That was the nicest thing.
In one second, because I am intrigued how this note got. Now, don't tell me the answer.
I'll
throw some questions that I hope the listeners are thinking to themselves. One, how did the note get to said MySpace date? Why wouldn't he share it with Teresa?
That's actually an interesting question to me.
Yes, and then why does Danny feel, well, less than satisfied by the whole transition?
Yeah.
We will not talk about that for another 6 minutes.
This
we'll
is
take
gonna
a
be hard.
Quick
now
break,
I'm
and we'll unravel Tease MySpace date with Danny's mystery note next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to get out your bindings and dust off your board. It's time to go to Telluride. We've got an amazing deal on a trip to Telluride so you can party with your friends from Free FM. Check out this sweet deal now at 971freefm.com and click on the Telluride link or call 800-291-2588.
Coming up on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Get your punk asses ready for my favorite bit. Dick Gobbler and the Funny Farm. Finally, everyone's going to hear what a real morning show should sound like. From Ease the Soup, Joel McHale. And the Hollywood Madam who's outing all the stars, Joni Baby Doll. Hey, Jackman's not worried. He's written her so many checks over the years, he put her on direct deposit. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have a very important dating story to get to that involves our own Teresa Strasser, her MySpace date, and one Danny Bonaducci in a mystery note. But first, since it is Friday and Crank Yankers is back on MTV2, we decided 10 o'clock. It is 10 o'clock, right?
Crank Yankers.
10:30.
I feel like it's 10:30, but let me double check.
I feel like it's 10:30, too. Crank Yankers, 10:30.
It's 10:30, Friday night,
10:30,
right?
Friday night on MTV2. There'll be a new episode tonight. Every Friday, we dig into the vaults.
There's no chance that you funny guys are behind my shoes.
No. We didn't
steal your boots. Okay, no, we're not kidding, because I couldn't find my boots. Even though I knew they weren't in there, I just went and searched.
Mm-hmm.
But I found this.
A miniature shoe.
Are you sure that somebody is not being funny?
You found a size 2.
Jet black, like I wear.
Mmm, yeah.
Not two of them.
It would have been a cowboy boot if we were doing it. A very small cowboy boot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I feel better.
You just went to your car and checked.
Oh, I've ripped it apart 3 times. The boots are not in there, and that's what I'll be doing the rest of the morning.
Well, as soon as Gretchen gets up, when does Gretchen get up?
About 30 seconds.
All right, call Gretchen. We'll see if we can get to the bottom of the boot debacle. But, as I was saying, yes, Crank Yankers back on MTV2, 10:30 tonight, all new episode. We dug into the vault.
It is 10 o'clock?
No, did I say 10:30? It is 10 o'clock.
We've all been saying 10:30, so we apologize. Yeah. It is 10 o'clock Friday night.
Yes. MTV2.
To be fair, I started to say 10 o'clock, but was shouted down.
Sorry.
All right, by no Brazil's Teresa Strasser. Where were we? 10
to
o'clock.
Be fair, I was right.
10 o'clock MTV2. That's right. Thanks, Angie. All right, now this is Jimmy as his gay assistant character, Terrence, calling a business on behalf of, I believe, Jared from Subway. Let's hear it.
Good afternoon, Subway Server Palms. This is Carol.
Hi, Carol. Can I speak to the manager on duty, please?
This is Carol, the manager.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm just calling about the Jared appearance on Saturday.
I didn't know there was going to be one.
Okay.
And I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, let me give you the update. Jared will be coming to your store on Saturday afternoon.
Who is this?
My name is Terrence Catheter. I am Jared's assistant, and I was just calling to make sure all the details were in order.
He's going
to
be here at the River Palm?
He will be there, yes, at your store. He's doing a piece for E.T. where he travels the country, and he eats sandwiches. And he'll be at your store.
Oh, really?
Yes, it should be wonderful. We're going to have the whole crew there.
You know how busy it is here on Saturday?
I know. That's what we want. We want busyness. We don't want it to make it look like people don't eat at our stores now, do we?
No.
Okay, then.
Okay, what time is he coming? Hold on. Can I give you to my assistant?
Yes.
I'm in the middle of something.
Your assistant? Okay, this seems rather more important than something that will be handed off to an assistant. Yes, are you assistant?
Yeah.
Yes, hi. What's your name?
Ball?
Uh-huh. Hi, Ball. I'm Terrence. I am Jared from Subway's assistant. You know Jared from the commercials?
Yeah.
Skinny guy, big pants?
Uh-huh.
Yes, he's going to be making an appearance at your store. We just want everything to be scrubbed and perfect and everyone to be on their best behavior.
Okay.
Now, there are a few things that Jared asks for. I won't say he demands, but he will freak out completely if he doesn't get them. When he goes into the store, what we'd like you to say is, Jared, how are you? What a pleasure to see you. Greet him warmly. Greet him like every... He comes in there all the time. He's in there 3 times a week. Okay?
Okay.
Do you have that? Are you writing this down?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Also, if you could compliment Jared on how nice and thin he looks, say, wow, you look great. You look terrific. You've really kept the weight off. You're fit. You're muscly. You're muscly. Okay? Okay. And when he shows up, we are also going to need everyone to sing the Jared song.
The Jared song?
Yes. Do you know the Jared song?
No.
Okay. I'm just taking deep breaths right now because you were supposed to learn the Jared song in advance of his appearance there. And I'm going to have the E.T. crew there. Okay, calm down, Terrence.
You okay?
I'd be better if you knew the song.
Uh-huh.
Does anyone there know the song?
You know the Jared song? I never heard of the Jared song.
Don't you people have television sets?
Get her name and number.
Get her name and number?
Okay, how about his name and number?
No, I need her name and number.
Okay. I don't know what she's saying there or why she's calling me a her.
Yeah.
But I don't appreciate it, and I might have to shut this store down.
Okay.
If Jared deemed this store unsuitable for him, this store closes, and you're all out on the street. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to have to gather myself and call you back because I'm so angry right now. I could kill everyone there. I could go crazy. I could spin out completely like a madman and smash all the salami and lettuce and throw lettuce every place in your store. So I'm going to call you back.
Okay.
Okay, goodbye. Learn the song while I'm gone.
All right.
Okay, goddammit. Bye.
What was Jimmy Kimmel's gay assistant, Terrence? What was the over-under on Jared?
Catheter.
Yes, Terrence Catheter. I forgot about that. What was the over-under on Jared lasting as a spokesperson for Subway? Like, when you saw the first commercial with Jared starring in it in 1969 for Subway, what were the chances that 47, 48 years later, I don't know when the first Jared commercial was, the former fat guy with zero personality.
Right.
The guy, the bag of shredded lettuce they have there at the Subway has more personality than Jared does. I wouldn't call him charismatic. I wouldn't call him good looking. I would call him a guy who
I wouldn't call him thin.
I would call him a guy who was morbidly obese, managed to shed 150 pounds or so, and is now down to, he could lose 20 pounds. What were the chances that this guy was going to go on with one of the biggest and fastest growing chains, probably in the United States, for the last 10 years? If you saw the first commercial.
The first one, now, because I never actually understand over-under. I just say it.
In a business where...
For this one, I get it.
Yes.
You saw the first one. What would you bet that he'd still be doing it in 2007?
If I said, do you think you'll be here a week later? You'd say, yeah, I'll take that bet.
I'll take
that. But
right.
If I said 5 years later, you'd go,
I'd put up my house.
Yeah, that's right.
You put your house up. First of all, there's more problems than no personality and not that thin.
Right.
There is fat people get fat again.
Right.
I would have put my money on that.
Yes.
He did nothing but eat Subway if he is to be believed.
Yeah.
And I do actually believe him.
I remember
until
seeing...
he got thin. The second he got thin, he went, all right, Twinkies now.
Right. So he didn't get fat, but yet... In a business where there's so much turnover, where you're here today and gone tomorrow, and this guy isn't exactly a talent tour de force, I just figured some high-ranking whoever over at Subway would take a look at this guy and just have an ass full of him about 8 months into his fifth Jared commercial and go, look, let's go see if we can get, who's that tan guy who does the Doritos commercials?
Now let's get him.
Let's get him. Yes.
Well, Jared used to weigh 425 pounds.
And Jared used to be a poor, morbidly obese guy with bad frames. And now, evidently, he's rich. And 10 years later, he is nothing but Mr. Subway. I do not. There's certain things where I completely get. And then there are other things where I go, I don't get it. I don't get the sandwich. I don't get the spokesperson. I don't get the fact that there's 20 more of these things on every corner each year that passes. If you sent me in, gave me a Subway, and let me meet Jared, I would eat the sandwich, meet Jared, and walk out and go, well, this place is going under, and it's going under tomorrow.
There's also the fact that he is not that thin, not that attractive, not that talented, but there's also the fact that it's not that a healthy choice. Eat this one food for a year.
Yeah, that's what he did to lose his weight. He just had a Subway sandwich.
That's not necessarily the world's greatest choice.
No, I wouldn't say
health-wise.
Most dietitians would sign off on the 6-inch sub diet. All right, speaking of 6-inch subs, maybe 5.5, Teresa had a date last night.
Me too.
With the MySpace The MySpace,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, to be clear, this is the only guy I've ever gone out with from MySpace.
Right.
Only
right.
gone out with one guy.
No,
ever.
And we know him now. Well, we don't know
him. We know him as the MySpace guy.
You know him well.
This is a guy you famously met on MySpace, had a few highballs, made a run for the border.
Six Jamesons.
Six Jamesons made a run for the border, and somewhere near an outlet store decided
Ontario.
You had sobered up enough to turn back around and not get married in Vegas.
Yeah.
Then you didn't see him for a few months. Then you guys reunited, reconnected. Now, you're out last night for your fourth date?
Maybe fifth or sixth now.
Fifth or sixth. So things are heating up. Yeah. They're getting more serious. You are where? At a Subway?
We went to Subway because mm-hmm. he said that was classy mm-hmm. and that the food was good. No, we were at a place on Melrose called the Red Pearl. Mm-hmm. And I happen to... Well, here's the thing.
You didn't happen to mention it to me. I knew about this. I knew this was happening the second you said you were going out with him.
Really?
Would you like me to, what part would you like to tell, and then when do I come in and tell what actually happened?
Interesting. Interesting question.
Why don't you tell what you think happened,
okay.
and then I'll tell you what really happened.
Here's my, well, I have no idea what was in the letter, but I'll preface it by saying that he made me dinner last week, and it looked like it took a lot of effort. It was like, you know, risotto, it takes a long time to cook, and I don't know how to cook, and mm-hmm. I couldn't really cook him dinner. I couldn't reciprocate, and I started to feel bad, like he's taken me out a few times.
Mr. MySpace has
yes.
taken you out, he's cooked
yes.
you a meal, and now you wanted to take him
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I didn't want to seem ungrateful. I appreciate that he comes to Koreatown and picks me up and takes me out, and then he mm-hmm. made me dinner, and but then on the other hand, so I thought, well, should I start paying? And then I didn't want to offer to pay and him say yes, because then, as Danny said, then he goes, offer to pay, and if he pays, never see him again.
Uh-huh.
If you at the table saying, let me get this one, mm-hmm. and he says, oh, cool, well, then he's kind of a loser. You have to figure out another way. Like poker buddies.
When you're out on a date or you're with your woman and you have to decipher between the things she suggests and throws out and wants to do and ones where she's just testing the water. You know, once in a while, a woman will say, you know what? I never want to get married, and I don't want to have kids. I'm young. I like having a good time. And if you look across the table and go, oh, baby, then you got your man.
Right.
Because I never, ever want to have kids, and I don't want to get married either. I think that's the divorce rate's over. That chick will wilt. She'll toss it out like she doesn't right. want to do it, but in her heart she does.
Right.
And it's the same with paying. Let me get this. The same thing you do when you grab
right.
your wallet.
Let me get this.
Hope yeah. Kimmel can whip out that Visa faster than I can get my wallet. As a matter
yes,
of fact,
you're bluffing because you want to look generous. And honestly,
yes.
I honestly feel appreciative, and I would never want to have a sense of entitlement that, you know, you should buy my food.
You know what would be an interesting experiment, digressing one second? I'd hate to have it done on me. The amount of time it takes me to get my wallet
yes.
when I'm paying for parking and there's a couple cars behind me and it's like,
right.
oh, Christ,
yeah,
you know,
right.
they're flashing his high beams.
Nice.
Versus the amount of time it takes me to grab for my wallet when me and Kimmel take the old man show guys out for dinner.
Is right. it in
because
slow motion?
One is like a quick draw competition. I'm like Doc Holliday.
Right.
Out in tumbleweed, you know, and the other one's like, you know, like when I got people waiting for me and I'm in line at the supermarket, and they're actually is a whip cracking sound as I pull the wallet out,
fistful of dollars,
five credit cards go out. And then the thing, I spin it around twice, wow, poof, puff of smoke comes out of my pocket. When I'm going for my wallet, when I'm out to eat with eight people, me and Kimmel are sitting there and one of us is going to pay, it's this move like I had a pin in my shoulder, like an old baseball player had a rotator cuff injury, and you actually hear squeaking coming from the... Let me lean over to my lap. And it's slow-mo... There's a hummingbird near it, but its wings have slowed down. You can actually see each wing. Meanwhile, Kimmel's in the parking lot, and he's validating his park. Sorry, buddy.
See, one of the ways you and I are totally different mm-hmm. is not because I'm so generous. It's because I'm one of my problems, like my boots.
Mm-hmm.
I need people to know I'm not poor anymore.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
I need to pay, no matter what, even if I don't know you.
Mm,
I need to pay so you don't think I'm Todd Bridges.
Mm. Oh, Jack Silver, you hear that? You won't be going to lunch in 5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll let the boss find his hell.
Oh,
I'm serious.
Sorry.
If we all went out to lunch But you know I've got a good paying job. But other people don't know I'm still not just the guy from the Partridge Family and ran out of money a long time ago, and I need them because of my frail ego
right.
to know. And I want to whip out either the platinum card, which is how I guess I go because I can't get the black card. But, you know, I need to whip out the platinum card and tip heavily and say nothing about it like it was nothing because I'm really short. And I need them to know I'm not a has-been anymore.
Well,
I need them to know I can buy things.
I like the grand gesture, too. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. But
So you make the gesture to pay for this guy's dinner.
Well, I didn't because I was discussing it yesterday here after the show with Danny and sound guy Brian.
Is that what you call what we had, a discussion? This is why I bought your friggin' dinner, so we'd never have whatever that was again.
I didn't quite know how to handle it because I've offered a lot of times and ended up buying a lot of guys' dinner. And you'd be surprised how many people let you buy them dinner.
Yeah, it was struggling writers who cry after lovemaking.
Yes.
It's a different breed than young entrepreneurs,
let's just jump back and forth whenever you feel it's appropriate or I've misled anybody. But here's what happened. How do I buy him dinner? Are you kidding? You're a girl. You say, let me buy you dinner sometime. And he'll say, okay, and be flattered.
Right.
No, I can't. He might be emasculated. Oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. And Brian and I are ready to blow our brains out. And she's saying, and I said, okay, just slip the card to the waitress the second you walk in. So when she comes back and he reaches for it, she can say, oh, no, it's been taken care of, and give Teresa her check. Oh, no, that's
you guys told me that was bad because it was without his knowledge.
I didn't care what was bad or good anymore. I just want you to shut up. So
this is taking a lot of the sweetness out of it.
There was no sweetness. I hated you this whole time. So Brian and I are going back and forth ways to pay for dinner, and it then comes to me. I'll take care of this for her. She's my friend, and I like her, and I'll take care of this. So I go, God, it's such a big deal. Where the hell are you going tonight? Mm-hmm. And when I asked you that, this was already on. You didn't know that, but this was already happening when I asked you where you were eating.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Because here's the conversation exactly. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to the Red Pearl. Where the Red Pearl? Never heard of it. Where is it? Oh, it's on Melrose. Huh. You got to get up early. What time do you go to dinner? What time's your reservation? Oh, we're going at 6 o'clock right when it opens. Huh. Well, you know, I got to get home to watch American Idol. It's my job. So now I know everything. That was pretty good right there.
Right.
So you didn't know it was already on right then. I had it going right then.
Right.
So I go home. I have a bunch to do, including my wife has a little problem, and I have to take Dante to Junior Lakers at 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's still perfect. Because I need you seated in at your table. I can't bump into you.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure Dante's cool. We go play his game at 6. Then, then I write the beautiful note at home. And I'm totally dyslexic. But I have spell check and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have dictation software.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of ink. So I take an electronic dictionary to Dante's basketball game. And wrote that note 4 different times. So I'm not only the dad that doesn't know anything about my son's basketball game, I'm also the dad that doesn't watch his son play because it looks like he brings his work with him.
No boots on the hardwood.
Yep, I always wear the boots.
Okay.
Because
I'm still trying to work the boots.
No,
thing out,
all boots on the hardwood. Okay. That way they can't ask me to do anything dad-like.
You understand? It's my job.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to connect those dots.
Those boots are so they can never say, hey, we need another dad.
Understood. Okay, I'm just still trying to figure out what happened to
the boots. So I go, this is kind of cool. So I write it on a piece of scratch paper that actually says YMCA on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so small, it gets really squishy towards the end. So I borrow another piece and write it a little larger using my electronic calculator or dictionary. So I'm pretty sure most of it is spelled correctly.
So you're writing it longhand, but you're checking your spelling.
Right. I bought ink
dictionary
on the way home, so I may have the note with me, the actual note with me.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're supposed to be there. Say at 6 o'clock. Dante gets in the car, and I go, Dante, we are on a secret, covert mission.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go in this restaurant, we're going to find these spies, and we're going to point them out to the management so the management knows they're there. So you have to be super quiet, and you can't let the spies see you.
Right.
Well, he's in a purple Lakers uniform, first of all.
Right.
And the second we get in there, he starts flipping out and doing flips and stuff. And I don't yell. I quietly reprimand him for being the world's worst spy.
Right.
And then, so nobody can figure out if it's you because there's a certain amount of couples in there. So they take me through the kitchen. They're being really helpful.
You are in there.
Yeah, I've been there. I was there. First of all, you were a half hour late.
I know.
So now,
I
was in there. There's Junior Lakers at 5 o'clock.
Five
that wraps
six.
Up about 6. You're now in there a little after 6.
6:20, 6:30.
They know who you are, so they're...
Right off the bat, yeah.
They're helping
and
you
I've
out.
I've called already.
They're being helpful.
Yeah.
They walk you into the kitchen.
Well, they walk around at first. Say she's not here.
Not
there's
here.
Nobody by that, like, that description here at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, she's late. And I thought, if she gets much later, because I split with Dante, who's wearing a Lakers armless jersey, and it's 4 degrees outside. If my son dies, don't you worry.
Right.
And we walk around Melrose, and I show him, I tell him all the freaks are mimes. That's what they are. They're mimes.
Uh-huh.
So then he asks them to do tricks, which I thought was funny. So we walk up and down Melrose, and then we go back in. It's been about a half an hour.
Right.
We go back in, and I still can't see you. And they say, do you want to go in the kitchen and see? Because I thought maybe it was you. So I go out of the kitchen. You're right next to the kitchen, by the way. But the glass is all red.
Mm-hmm.
So I still can't really tell. So I said, do me a favor. This would be totally natural for her. She'll believe this completely. Just walk up to her and say, excuse me, one of the customers wants to know, are you that Teresa, is it, from TV? Are you on a TV show?
Mm-hmm.
So they walk up, I'm assuming, to your table and go, hey, are you that Teresa from that TV show? She said, yeah, why? Who wanted to know? And they said, oh, these guys in the bar were talking about you.
Mm.
They said, oh, thanks. Yeah, it's her. Yeah, it's her.
Right.
So I give them my credit card, Jonathan, your waiter, who was an old friend of mine, by the way.
He's
that was
a nice
weird.
Guy.
He's the sweetest boy. So he takes my credit card, and I say, add a 20% tip, but don't tell the guy, because then he'll probably tip you anyway, and you'll have a pretty good night.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just put 20 on my credit card, but don't mention it. Don't say, oh, your tip's included.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your bonus for helping me out here. Any gentleman will tip you again, wondering if I tipped you or not.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, we figure all of this out, and I say, when you go up there and they ask for the check, you say, no, it's been taken care of, sir, but this is for you. And it's a note that says, to the gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
On that I have scribbled like a 4-year-old on a pad of paper.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what actually happened.
Now,
that happened around 11 in the morning. That started happening.
Wow. All right. So now let's fast forward to you coming back from the bathroom and he's reading the note.
I come back from the bathroom and my space guy is reading what appears to be a page long handwritten note. And I'm
by the way, appears to be written is absolutely correct. It's scratch. I don't know how much he got.
I could see was the top said, Dear Sir, in a very formal.
Well, I don't
reading.
Know his friggin' name. I'm not going to call him my space guy.
Dear S-U-R. Hold on a second. We need to take a break, believe it or not. We'll now tease the tease on top of the tease. The contents of the note.
I still don't know what the note said.
Yeah, well, he
thanks
didn't back
for
it
helping with the tease, sister. The contents of the note, Danny will at least tell us. The contents of the note and then the remainder of the date next on the Adam Carolla Show.
See what's coming off at the Spearmint Rhino in City of Industry, Torrance, and Van Nuys. Visit SpearmintRhino.com. Perfect for bachelor and birthday parties. I'll see you at the Rhino. Spearmint Rhino.
It's time to name the Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. This week's employee is 100% dedicated to the show. Having never missed a day of work and always arriving on time and prepared for the day, this employee is a shining example of the work ethic that makes America great. This week's Employee of the Week is, once again, Adam Carolla.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
If I hadn't forgotten my boots, today it would have been me.
I know I've clenched a fist, raised it over my head, and shouted, I will fire all you lemmings if you don't vote for my hairy ass each and every week on Friday before we break for the weekend. But I still feel touched that you felt compelled to vote
for me.
That's
my nips on your ass, if you're feeling
touched. Oh, is that what that was? I thought I smelled some cherry chapstick. Where were we? Tease Not V, but D, her date, everybody.
Yes.
Went out on her sixth date with the MySpace buddy last night. Again, the first guy she's ever met on MySpace.
And only.
Had a few boozes, thought about getting married just as a goof, decided against it. Now they're forging a relationship. Out to dinner last night at the Red Pearl. 6 o'clock date, showed up a little late. Danny, after a little argument over who should pay, Teresa wanting to pay, decides to pay, craft a note, and show up, but anonymously,
right,
without Teresa's knowledge.
It was supposed, you know me, I'm Mr. Romance, and if I can't have mine, I'll have hers.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be, she'd sit down, they'd order dinner, they'd eat, she'd have in the back of their mind, what do I do about paying? The check, they'd ask for the check, and the maitre d' would say, oh, that's been taken care of, and this is for the gentleman. That's what was really supposed to happen.
Right.
That's all that was supposed to happen.
But Teresa got up to do a line of blood, I mean, powder, I mean,
you go mean throw to up dinner.
Throw up dinner in the bathroom. The note was delivered to her date while she was up and out, and then when she returned, he was reading a note.
Yeah, I see him reading a handwritten note, and I have no idea that Danny's been there. It's all really surreal, and I said, who is that note from? And he said, this note's from Danny Bonaducci. I'm like, what?
Mm.
What does it say? And he said, well, dinner's been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, please tell me.
I was not to admit that little bastard, if he hadn't said that.
I said, please tell me that there's at least one thinly veiled threat on you in that note.
Uh-huh.
And he wouldn't give me the note. He wouldn't let me see it. But he did say something about, if you hurt her, you and your descendants will all be cursed.
Ah, and the Bonaducci curse.
You don't want that on you.
Red really pubes and you can't find your boots in the morning.
That's right. You just don't want that. It does say if you don't do this certain thing, I will curse you and all of your descendants.
What thing?
I can't say.
Oh, come on.
He's your date. If he didn't. Listen, I just wanted to be in on the romance. Had it gone much easier than it did, had it worked out as planned, I would have felt like I had a great date. It was really great.
It was
brought
great.
Me great joy.
Living vicariously
so
through the single
it was
Teresa
so
Strasser.
Yeah.
It's like the you know, the single flower being brought to your table. Whatever it was something neat to be part of. It should have brought me great joy to be a part of. It just turned out to suck with my son doing flips and you're not even there yet.
Well, so then how
and
did it end,
things.
Teresa? You never did see the whole note, and the whole note said what, Danny? I mean, basically, is that it in a nutshell? I've taken care of your meal, and if you do anything to hurt my little Teresa Strasser, I'll crush you and your family. Was that the long and the short of it?
The long and the short, I'll give it to you by memory. It's really easy. It seems like it's long because I had to write it and spell check my name.
Mm-hmm.
It just said, dear sir, please allow me to introduce myself. My name is Danny Bonaducci, and I'm a co-worker of Teresa's. I don't mean to burden you with my personal problems, but I spend over an hour of my incredibly valuable time discussing how this woman can buy you dinner without putting you in an awkward position.
Mm-hmm.
So please accept this dinner from me as a gift with no strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could do me, and this is where this guy's a... I said, you please accept this dinner with no strings attached as a gift. But if you wanted to, you could look up from this note right now and say, hey, Teresa, I'd love to let you buy me dinner sometime.
No, he did.
Of course, you don't have to say that or do any of this. This is just a favor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, I will curse you and your descendants forever. Your new best friend, Danny.
You wanted, and just for clarity for everyone listening, including myself, Teresa, you wanted to buy him dinner.
Well, I didn't really. I just felt like I should offer. I didn't know how to act.
You did that thing that a lot of gals of your faith do. They get up in their head.
Yes.
Little bit too smart for your own good.
Yeah, yes.
You start examining.
Yeah.
You know what? I got to tell you, a date, relationship.
It did say you're very sweet for dating the challenged.
Dating has to be one of these things that you don't think about as much as you do, and the more you think about it. I'll tell you what, you went out to dinner last night, right?
Yes.
When you're chewing your food, you shouldn't be thinking about chewing your food, because you start really thinking about chewing your food and where your tongue is, you'll bite it. It'll screw you up. You ever think about that?
Yeah.
If you just put something in your mouth, you start chewing and you're talking and you're drinking and you're having a good time, you'll never bite your tongue. If you ever stop and go, where's my tongue? tenth of a second later, you'll chomp down on your tongue.
It's like thinking too hard about breathing.
Yes.
You can forget. You go, wait, what do I do?
When you run, you're not supposed to look down at your feet to make sure they're going in front of each other.
Yeah.
You just run for the joy. And when you date, when you break it down and you start getting up in your head, and should I pay? Should he pay? What would it mean if he said it was okay? Does that mean we're just friends? Does that mean he's cheap or he doesn't feel? Would he pay if he was with somebody else? Would I not pay if I was? Then you will screw yourself up. You understand?
Yep.
So you do that, T, and I'm wondering if you do it as a little bit of a defense mechanism. If you get in and bite your own tongue in the middle of the date just so you can have an excuse not to eat again. I'm not sure if you know that's between you and your shrink.
By date five, you're supposed to bite his tongue.
Right. So Danny ends up paying. He ends up accepting it, and how does he come out of this when the smoke clears?
Well, he said, and he was very touched, he said, you talk about me at work.
Ah.
And I said, yeah, I do. I did.
That's
talk
why
about
dear
you.
Sir instead of dear green MySpace guy.
And he was flattered, and I said I did, and I didn't know how to handle things. And it's funny because you, Adam and Danny, couldn't be more different people. But you both individually said to me that I think too much, that I'm too up in my head, so therefore it must be true. But
and by the way, if he's listening, the Mr. MySpace, this is what it sounds like when we're talking about you at work to me.
Koreatown. Jameson. Vintage automobile. Wait a minute, that was me.
All right, let's call this meeting a wrap.
Basically, you're every grown-up in the Charlie Brown cartoons.
Right. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, he said he was flattered that I talked about him at work. And then I said, I feel bad because I don't know how to cook and I can't reciprocate and cook you dinner. And then he said, I cooked for you because I liked it. And I will cook you dinner again this weekend.
Wow. Yeah. So it turned out.
So I'm the only one out any money.
Right.
This has all been an expensive endeavor for you emotionally and financially.
By the way, just in case you're curious, with tip, $130.
$130. Bonaducci is out. The street lights came on. That meant it was time for you to go to bed. So the date ends early, but this weekend, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Well, yes, but can I just say one thing about the thinking too much, which is that I think possibly mistakenly, but I feel like if I don't think about everything all the time, then something bad's going to happen to me. The only thing I really have going for me is my
parenting.
The only thing I have going for me is my ability to think well. That's all I've got.
And exactly how well is that working out for you?
Well, interesting.
She's single. She's been 29 for 5 years. You do the math. And here's the thing about your brain, everybody who's planning on doing some thinking out there. Thinking is a good thing. It can stop you from being killed. It can make you money. And it can solve the world's biggest problems. On the other hand,
what else can it do?
Your brain is a computer. And just like these movies with the apocalyptic view of the future, where the computer starts off by making life easier and solving man's problems and dilemmas, but at some point turns on the very one it's serving. Your brain is a computer, but it has a mean spirit to it. And it can be used to calculate and drive a car and pick up your kids and everything else and all that is good. It can build dams and it can build stadiums and it can compose music and it can build mines and it can stab people and it can cause global warming and it can pollute rivers. It's the same computer, and that same computer that can do the world's greatest achievements, that, you know, symphonies, and build the hall that all the people that play the cellos are in, and build the IEDs and blow up the limbs off of innocent people in countries unknown. That same computer's in your brain. I mean, in your head.
That is your brain.
That is your brain. It's capable of good and capable of bad. And once in a while, to me,
that's why they're called landmines.
How much of that computer, good point. How much of that, spell check that. How much of that computer is doing good and how much is bad? Now look, everyone's brain is going to do a certain percentage of bad. There's not a brain in the world that's 100% good. Every brain in the world is going to be able to once in a while look in the mirror and go, wow, looks like you're putting on a few pounds, or Jesus, that was a stupid thing you said, or man, I don't know if that guy likes you, or whatever it is. But is it 10% or is it 80%?
I'm working on it, but there's usually about an hour a day where I mull over things I shouldn't have said or done.
See if you can get your computer to be about 80% good and only 20% bad versus 50-50 or worse.
I will, but yes.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say, to prove Adam's point, because I am the computer who wore tennis shoes. If I were to, and I hope I don't talk myself into anything, if I were to sit here and wonder what I'm going to say next and think, am I going to be as funny as Adam? Am I going to be as, am I going to know to go to the phones and do something like Teresa? Am I going to be ready? I won't do anything. I just sit here and listen. And when the opportunity arises, when he said, it's all in your mind, it's all in your mind, and these weapons that do this, I said, yeah, that's why they're called landmines. And that was it. I didn't think of it earlier. I'm not thinking of it now. What can I say funny next?
Right.
Because I'd freeze.
Right.
I got to be funny for the next 6 minutes.
You're reacting instead of scripting. When you script in advance, you stop listening, and then you usually screw up whatever you scripted. And it's the same with dating. You move too far down the road. You get too far out ahead of yourself. Geez, there's too big age difference. I don't know if this guy wants kids. He's been divorced once. He's not going to want to get married again. Thus, you screw up the date before you go out on the date.
Yes.
You're smart. Stop using your brain against yourself. There you go.
Okay.
By the way, when they said, what does she look like? Do you know how hard, because of just some of your intros and outros, it was not to say, well, she's Jewish.
Who's that?
It's just, I just.
Oh, the restaurant.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, well, that won't help, but we say it all the time.
Picture a yarmulke on top of a bagel that resides on top of a huge nose. We'll take a quick break. Got her news coming up.
That's right. Last night. American Idol results show?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Seacrest said this.
After the nationwide vote, you are leaving us tonight on American Idol.
But to whom? Oh, I will tell you.
Please be Paula. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with that. Much, much more on the Adam Carolla Show.
Guys, next time you're in Las Vegas, be sure to check out Scores Las Vegas, the nation's number one nightclub and cabaret. And coming soon to downtown L.A., Scores Los Angeles, located in the Score Gentlemen's Club near Staples Center. Isn't it time for a boys' night out? Guys.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
The Beckhams coming to California. I'll get to see every bit of their big move at 10.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I get a bad taste in my mouth when I see posh Beckham out there with her new BFF, Katie Holmes. And, oh, look, everyone, they decided to go out to lunch at the Ivy. And, uh-oh, they're being surrounded by the paparazzi. Really, you two don't get enough photographs of yourselves out shopping? And by the way, I understand when Princess Di was around, she'd don the flak jacket and the protective mask, and she'd take some photo ops digging up landmines in Somalia.
Right, for a cost.
That's a nice photo op right there. I'm sure as soon as they put the cameras away, she handed the skinny black guy the flak jacket, in which case he fell over because it weighed too much for him, and landed on a landmine, and it blew up. But that's a photo op. How many photo ops do you need shopping? How many photo ops do you need out eating meatloaf that costs $72 in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week? You know what I mean? I mean, I feel like if society sees enough pictures of me leaving Barney's of New York with my hands held over my head, filled with expensive sweaters on noon on a Tuesday, at a certain point, they're going to hate me because I'm out spending tons of money all day while they're out at salt mine working. But whenever you interview these people, they always say, we just want to be left alone. We're just like everyone else. We just want our privacy. What's our idea of a good night? Our idea of a good night is pulling up by a bowl of popcorn and popping in a movie and just... Well, so you want to go out to lunch with your best friend who's as big a star as you are. Perhaps you shouldn't go to the place that's populated with paparazzi. Perhaps you should go to an out-of-the-way place.
Is that the call?
Or here's a better thing. You have 30,000 square feet in a palatial estate. Perhaps you go into one wing and you enjoy some nice takeout food that your assistant picks up.
This is almost my exact take on the Tyra Banks show, by the way. Almost my exact take.
And by the way, don't a lot of publicists call the photographers in advance and say, my client's going to be eating at the Ivy in an hour?
Not George Clooney's, but yes.
Yes, sad.
Absolutely. Not Brad Pitt's at the moment. You can't keep them away. But somebody, No, not, I was thinking like me might do it, but they wouldn't come. I'd have to say he'll be robbing a bank around noon, and then somebody might show up.
Hey, yeah.
But somebody on the
Danny's
verge.
Danny's publicist would be like, yeah, Miss Danny Bonaducci's going to be sodomizing a waiter over at the Ivy in about 45 minutes. You want to get out there?
We don't care about Danny too much, but it's a handsome waiter.
All right, T, what's going on in the news, baby doll?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Very sad story out of Ohio this morning. A charter bus carrying a college football team from a very small Mennonite-affiliated university called Bluffton fell off a highway ramp, slammed into the pavement below. Six people are dead of the 35 people on board, and many other injuries are being reported.
I want you to know that when I saw this story about 5 a.m. this morning, I started the fueling process on what will be a mega rant.
Sit back.
A super mega rant. I'm not going to waste it during the news because it's too much for the news. But you will have a Ace Corolla Signature Series mega rant on this bus accident. And Danny, I don't know, you've seen me fired up, but I don't know if you've seen me beaten into a fervor like a religious pilgrim.
Actually, to be honest with you, I didn't really know. Do you remember I told you the day that you were in the middle of, it was 6 o'clock, and around 6:07 I went, wait, something has crossed Adam's mind between the last time I saw him and now, and he needs to get it off his mind. And that's when I said, you remember, I'm sure you remember this, you know what would have made the last 15 minutes perfect? If I could just smoke and watch Adam go. But I didn't know about the rant thing, but it's on a wall with pamphlets about what we do, and here's Teresa, and she does this, and here's Lycus, and he does that, and there's like 20 about you, and one of them says Adam Carolla, and the word rant in giant letters. So I didn't even know it was a specific thing
until
the other day.
Well, you will be donning your smoking helmet, because I will go on a supersized mega rant about this bus thing that no one is safe. No one is safe. That's all I'm saying.
Don't start.
And I will get into it probably in the 8 o'clock hour. So you want to hang out for that. Meanwhile, when I was watching this story, I TiVo CNN in the morning, and I try to sort of watch through it and catch up on as many stories as I can before I have to head off to work. For the first five times they reported on this story, because there's only two stories today. There's that and the twister that hit the hospital in Alabama. So they just sort of play ping pong with these stories for the first 3 hours of the CNN this morning. For the first five installments, it was a Little League team.
Yes.
Little League team and bus. Little League team and bus. Little League. At some point, it turned to college team. Now, the difference between Little League players and college players is about 2 feet and 150 pounds.
Right.
When you're clearing out a bus of 35 people with their uniforms on, or at least bags, because I guarantee if they're a college team, there's 1,000 bags and windbreakers in there that say whatever college on it. The logos emblazoned everywhere. Half the guys are probably wearing windbreakers or jerseys that had the college name on it. As opposed to a Little League team, how long does it take you to suss that out? When you're on the scene removing 9-year-old and 10-year-old Little Leaguers versus 20, 21, 22-year-old huge adult males from a bus, how does Little League get woven into this? And how badly do you have to screw that up to the point where you do 2 hours of reporting saying a Little League, and it's tragic any way you slice it.
Right, sure.
Little League is horrific. College, bad, not as bad as Little League. I think they err on the side of sensational.
Oh, sure.
I think somebody has a choice to make between Little League and college. Little League is a much better news story, and thus we'll go with Little League until somebody informs us otherwise, except for the part where large 6'3" adult males are all being either carried out of the bus or moving under their own power.
Well, it's all those little bastard T-ballers that were in the way.
Yes. How do you do it? Yes. Did a T-ball team show up? Where the first response EMT unit of T-ballers show up?
Well, you make a good point, and all the reports say that sports equipment was scattered along the interstate. Surely it said Bluffton University and not Little League.
There, when you travel with a baseball team like that, every single guy on that team has a sack. Every single guy has a bat bag or a tote bag or whatever. It all says Bluffton University on the side, home of the fighting tigers or whatever it is. There's no possible way. Forget about the 6 foot three, 200 pound bodies that were being removed from the bus. Is it possible that anyone on that scene could have thought it was a Little League team? It's impossible. I mean, whoever first said that should be fired. Or if some drunken hillbilly who staggered out of his van said, I think it was some Little Leaguers, the reporter still should have seen the big bodies and all the college stuff coming out of the bus.
Well, speaking of hillbillies, can I move on to Anna Nicole's funeral?
Okay.
That was well. That was not the rant that I'm looking for.
That was not 1/10.
That's like nothing, right?
That was an appetizer.
That was an appetizer.
I'll tell you why I'm so impressed and ready.
Yeah.
Because Adam said to me the other day, and they're probably up now, but to hell with them. Hey, you know that chin-up bar? I'm going to hang in one break and you'll be able to hang an engine block from it. That's exactly what he did. I'm waiting to actually bleed from my eyes.
Oh, yes.
His rant.
You'll be screaming for mercy.
I cannot wait. That is one of the highlights of the show, for sure. Meanwhile, Anna Nicole, her funeral is underway in the Bahamas. TMZ reporting that Howard K. Stern just arrived at the church. Now, you're listening to a little song that is going to be playing at Anna Nicole Smith's funeral today in the Bahamas. It's a Dolly Parton song. It's called I'll Wait For You. And apparently, she really liked this song, and she was a friend of a country singer named Joe Nichols. He'll be performing at the funeral. She'll be wearing a gown that was made for her and a tiara, but it's going to be a closed casket.
Well, I got to admit, when I'm wrong. I would have bet money that Anna Nicole was into classical music.
Shocking.
At least chamber music, but yeah. I can't believe she's into country music.
Yeah, it is rather
just when you think you know somebody. See, this is why you can't judge. This is why it's impossible and mathematically impossible to judge. You just can't judge. I would assume she was in a Baroque or chamber.
No.
Turns out she likes country
music.
She's
got a cousin with 13 fingers, so he can really pick a banjo.
Well, just a few other details. There are going to be about 300 people at the funeral.
Oh, I want to see the Z-list celebrity showing up at that baby trying to resurrect their careers.
I wouldn't have gone Z-list.
Well, this is a very tough ticket. You know how when you're planning a wedding, you have to limit the number of people. Each person gets to invite the bride and groom. Well, this thing, Howard K. Stern, Virgie Arthur, and Larry Burkhead each got to invite 100 people and no more. So they probably had to make cuts.
I don't know 100 people.
I guess you can get them out because it's a resort destination. I feel like if I could fold it into some sort of vacation, I could then ride off or something. I could possibly go. But how do you get 100 people to get on an airplane and fly out to an island?
Yeah.
Well, I guess everybody wants to go.
You know that day I went to the Anaheim Ducks game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there was a little bit of a confusion. There was a contest where 10 people get to go. And then when they showed up at my house or a day or two earlier, they said, and here's your 6 tickets for you and your friends. And I went, all my friends work at the station.
Right.
I don't know 6 people, like, right off the bat. I need 100 people to go to the Bahamas.
And it's not only you know, but they had to know Anna. And let me tell you this, and I've already braced myself for the worst, but when they have that washed-up celeb who's trying to get a little FaceTime on Entertainment Tonight start his sentence off from the Bahamas with, I never met Anna personally. I didn't know her. Please. That whole thing where you're at a funeral and you start off with, I didn't know her personally, but I believe in my heart of hearts that Anna and I were kindred, whatever. Yeah. You do not get any mic time. I want these guys to pull these B-listers aside and say, look, if you've never met, slept with, or had a lawsuit against this corpse over here, you're not getting any camera time. I don't want to start with, I've never met personally, and then whatever else was beautiful about this person here, eulogizing.
When we were first doing this stuff, and as you know, I've been on between like 1 and 3 TV shows a day, because I'm the guy you call if a celebrity ODs, takes drugs, or goes to jail.
Yeah, I think I saw you yesterday on Showbiz Tonight.
No, last night was Glenn Beck.
Okay.
But I get tonight at Scarborough Country. It's stupid, but I get 97.1 free FM on TV all the time, and my bosses love me, and that's what I'm just sucking up.
Right.
Because this is tiring, and it doesn't pay one penny.
Right.
You know, I'm just sucking up.
Right.
But, and I'm doing a good job, though.
I
like this job, and, you know, I took a 1-year deal, and in 1 year, they're going to say, we love you. You did such a good job. Here's more money. You get to stay.
You've been asked to speak on the Anna Nicole thing many times.
Many times. And they say, so you knew Anna Nicole, and I'm going, how do I lie now? How do I know her? What do I make up here? Where did I run into her? And they said, you know, you were on her show. And I went, oh, wait, I was. But I did several interviews before I knew that
you
I knew her.
You guys did Shakespeare together.
Yeah, Shakespeare together. I totally forgot that I ever met this woman in my whole life. I was just making this crap up.
Yeah. Well, thank God there's footage.
Yeah.
Thank God.
This thing is going to be an absolute media circus, the likes of which no one has
seen
since OJ.
Now, when does it go down?
It's happening as we speak, the funeral. And there are media there from all over the world.
So she's actually may have, because of the time difference, being lowered into the ground as we speak.
Yeah, they'd be on East Coast time.
I'm guess they're in the Bahamas. I'm guessing that the funeral is probably going to be lengthy.
So tonight when we turn on Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood and all that stuff, we will see the celebrities looking in the camera and delivering.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, this is going to be good.
Yes, something to look forward to. And last night on American Idol, it was elimination night, two guys and two girls. And, you know, Ryan Seacrest dims the lights and then he goes through the guys, you know, individually. Simon said this, Paula said this. But the first elimination, very sudden, very uncomfortable.
Nick, would you stand up? Nick, you are going home tonight.
Oh.
The journey ends for Nick. Give a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
He's the kind of Frank Sinatra sounding guy that sang Fever. He he bowed out of the competition last year when he couldn't remember the lyrics to Buttercup. He's gone. And then it came down to AJ.
How do you forget Fill Me Up Buttercup?
Apparently he did. Then it came down to AJ Tabaldo and that very young Sanjaya kid. Mm. And it really, if you saw the show, Sanjaya did not sing well.
So Sanjaya against AJ Baldo?
Tabaldo, yeah.
Tabaldo.
Yeah, here's a. Sorry, Brian. Here's a.
We got BJ Tabaldo working the board over here.
Is this too easy or are we really going to go?
I'll go easy every once in a while.
You know what? Oh!
All right,
revenge.
BJ.
One of these two guys leaves us tonight. But who is it going to be after the vote? AJ. You are going home. Sanjaya, you are safe. You look surprised, Sanjaya.
I'm shocked.
Everyone was shocked because he, he didn't do a very good job. But he's young, and I think a lot of young kids vote. Mm-hmm. So the young contestants do tend to stay.
Listen, BJ will land on his knees.
AJ.
Whatever it is.
He'll be fine. As far as the girls, we talked about Elena. She's probably the prettiest. Well, Antonella is very pretty, too. The one with the, you know, allegedly
Antonella
naked pictures.
Antonella is awkwardly pretty. She doesn't have a great, like, when they're, she's tan and she's thin and
young.
She doesn't have bad skin and she's young. But I wouldn't call her really pretty. She has a nice body, but something's a little off
with her. For people that are in the entertainment business, such as ourselves.
Right.
When you take a girl or a guy, anybody, and you put them on TV and they have a modicum of good looks, they look better. Because they must be beautiful or they wouldn't be on TV. You know, think about, I'll use one of my kids' favorites. Like, Hilary Duff is a super cute girl.
Love her.
But she's just some cute girl. There's nothing, oh my God, Hilary Duff.
Well, you know.
Or Britney Spears.
For me, it's not that they're on TV. It's scale. When you see these people in real life, they've shrunk down to scale. They've shrunk down to, oh, that guy's five. No, Tom Cruise. Guy's well under 6 foot, and he just looks like one of the good-looking guys I went to high school with. But when he fills up the big screen, it's bigger than life. So a lot of these people, when you see them in real life, it's not that they're less attractive. They seem to be less like a sort of miniaturized, and they're not glowing. They're not polished. They're not whatever. It's just, she's wearing a scrunchie in her tennis shoes. She's running through the airport, and it's Hilary Duff all of a sudden.
Let go of the helicopter to land on the hood of the car, he'd be squish, not saving the day.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Antonella.
I thought you meant scale as in scales. And I was thinking Paris Hilton is the only one I can think of.
Antonella, it seemed like she was going to go home. She was probably the worst of the singers. She sang Because You Loved Me. It was a pretty bad performance, and the judges didn't care for it. Elaine Alexander sang that Dixie Chick song, Not Ready to Make Nice, and she is not ready to move forward. She's gone.
She
was cut.
So the controversial chick with all the pictures.
Yes, she remains.
Good.
Of course.
And the other girl who was cut, Leslie Hunt, the blonde dog walker out of Chicago, gone.
Does she have a brother?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything. I posed the question.
And then, so those four are gone. And then a little something for you, Adam. The Consumer Reports came out with their list of the year's best vehicles. Every single one is a Japanese car.
Shocking.
Is that not shocking to you? for the 10 best cars that there's not one American or Italian or...
Well, there would never be an Italian car on that because...
They break.
Yeah, it's like... This is about value. It's not about the
yes.
best.
Oh, okay.
You know what
okay.
I mean? This is not about five-star restaurants. It's about $12 dining and getting the best
the
meal
best
for
$12.
They don't break.
Right.
It's safe.
It's going to okay. be the
okay.
safest, and it's going to be the most durable and possibly the most boring
yes,
as
okay.
well. So never going to be an Italian car.
Right.
Sometimes there's a couple of Germans
never
British. Sprinkled in there. It's never going to be British. There'll be a couple once in a while of BMWs and Mercedes,
right.
and once in a while there'll be an American car that sort of cracks it or makes it, it'll be big news, but usually it's dominated
Some
by
of
the
those
Japanese.
Are sneaky. I didn't know a Lexus was a Japanese car.
Oh, yeah. Toyota.
I thought it couldn't have been more American, a Lexus. The Japanese can't even say it.
It's a good point. Who
yeah.
knows what it's called?
We were gonna make a Lexus.
Yes.
And I was married to a Japanese woman. She could never say Lexus.
Well the, yeah. Infiniti is Nissan. Acura's Honda.
Yeah.
Keeps
Infinity's
going
on.
The
list.
Right.
The small sedan winner, Honda Civic, those have always, they're
right.
good cars. They don't break. Honda Fit is the best budget car. I've never seen a Honda Fit.
Mm, me neither.
Almost exactly well said.
Right.
Honda Accord is the best family sedan, and small SUV, the Toyota RAV4, midsize the Toyota Highlander Hybrid, which is interesting, and the best green car, the Prius.
Well, again, everybody, it's all a good rule
right.
of thumb for shopping. But when you buy a car, no different than you buying pants. You want them to fit. You want them to be durable. You want them to be well made. But on the other hand, how does your ass look in them should factor in? And how does your ass look in a Honda versus how does your ass look in a BMW or Mercedes or Ferrari? I think my ass looks better in a Ferrari.
Yeah, I get far more attractive in a big house and a fancy car.
I drive a Honda. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
Well, I love this next bit, although I will be burning some calories on it. That's right.
Now thinking that.
Dick Gobbler in the morning zoo.
Yeah,
Jack
coming
Silver's
up.
Favorite.
Morning radio done right. You know, we sit around, we talk, we don't plan, we don't have much production, but I'll tell you, the antithesis of our show is Dick Gobbler in the morning. This guy can get it done. We will have Red Bull and tea doing our entertainment news. We'll have, Artie St. Clair in the air. Marty. Yeah. Marty's going to be out. That's right. I came up with a name. I couldn't remember. Take a quick break. Back with Dick Gobbler in the Morning Zoo. Next on the Dick Gobbler Show.
It's time to get out your bindings and dust off your board. It's time to go to Telluride. We've got an amazing deal on a trip to Telluride so you can party with your friends from Free FM. Check out this sweet deal now at 971freefm.com and click on the Telluride link or call 800-291-2588.
Dick Gobbler and the Funny Farm. Dick Gobbler.
Traffic and weather together.
Traffic and weather.
Oh, yeah!
Gobble, gobble. Dick Gobbler in the morning.
Hey, you don't know Dick Gobbler, you know Dick. All right, we got traffic, weather, news, traffic, and more traffic. And then we got weather, news, weather, and traffic. What's going on, T-Bone?
How are you doing?
Should be doing the entertainment news. We got Red Bull. Red Bull's out on site. Get out there. He's out there with injured sludge. Big fat injured sludge. Kick sludge and nuts. Go home with a beer koozie. Where's let me get him on the blower. Let's get him on the Dick Gobbler's blower. Red Bull, where are you out there? How people come out and see you out there today? Where are you?
All you got to do, I am cutting the ribbon at the grand opening of the Duarte Office Depot. Now, speaking of cut, we didn't know that sludge has been cut. That's right, he's circumcised. So come on out and kick sludge in the nuts.
Kick sludge in the nuts. All right, Red Bull's out there at the Home Depot out in Duarte. Kick sludge in the nuts and get away with the beer koozie or bumper sticker. Hold on, it's time to get a little weather coming in. Irwindale checking in, 6-7 degrees. Animal Valley, 6-7 degrees. Banning, 6-7. Lamont, 6-7, Azu, 6-7, Tusk, 6-7, Compton, 6-7, Yorba Linda, 67 degrees, Bellflower, 6-7 degrees, Quayle, 6-7 degrees, Solvang, 6-7 degrees, City Industry, 67 big degrees, Loma Linda, 6-7, Monrovia, 6-7, Apple Valley, 67. We got Marty St. Clair in the air. He's going to do the traffic, weather, traffic, weather. More coming up every hour, on the hour, every 10 seconds, every quarter hour, 8th hour, 16th hour. Marty St. Clair's in the air. He's got the jet copter, Stater Brothers copter 9. Marty!
Gobble, gobble, Nick! Hey, we got slow and go on the 105. Hey, we got watch out for brake lights on the 105. Brake lights traffic, mattress in lanes over there on the 605. Hey, this brought to you by the WB. Tuesdays are all new and all funny in the WB.
Marty St. Clair in the air, the jet copter, Stater Brothers 9, copter 9, chopter. Later on this morning, we got the fellas from Savage Garden. They're coming in here and playing an acoustic set. And Ray Hartford, who's Ray Hartford? Wilson from the Tim Allen Show, Home Improvement. He's the tall guy that lives next door. Ray's coming, on. He's going to tell us. He's got a religious book on cassette. He's coming out here. He's going to talk about that. It's going to be good stuff. T, what's going on, T-Bone Entertainment News?
First of all, TGIF Day.
Good times, yeah.
I want to give a birthday shout out to Eddie Money. He's got two tickets to Paradise and one B-Day shout out. Happy B-Day.
Money Man's 56 years young.
Yeah.
All right, Red Bull's out there. He's on site. Red Bull.
Hey, this is Red Bull. Listen, I just heard that Eddie Money really only has one ticket to Paradise. It's so funny. Listen, it's Red Bull. I am out here with the Bond Squad. I'm at 8 Salt Fish and Chips on Langston. 8 Salt, a good name for T-Bone, if you know what I mean. And the 8 stands for Dick Gobbler. How does 8 stand for Dick? Because I'm Red Bull and I'm dyslexic. So come on down and kick Sludge.
Sludge is down there. Big, fat, disgusting, fat, thyroid-ridden, big, fat, ugly, big, fat, tub of
you
clear.
Got mail.
Big, fat, ugly Sludge is out there. Keep that fit in the dirt.
And he eats all the time.
He eats all the time. He's a big fat guy. He's got like three, four chins, more chins than Chinese FOMO. Big Sludge is out there. Kick Sludge and nuts. You walk away, the beer cruise and the bumper steer. Now it's time because we go to news, weather, traffic, news, weather, traffic, news, weather. You kite, but check it in 6-7 degrees. Chill then 6-7 Downey, 6-7 Dimebar, 6-7 Rancho Mirage, 6-7 degrees. Fontana, 67 big degrees in Hawaiian Garden, 6-7. Now it's time to go to Marty St. Clair. Marty St. Clair, he's in the air. He's in the state. Stater Brothers Jet Copter 9. Marty, how's it looking out there?
Careful, we got a car fire, a barbecue on the DeVore Pass. Hey!
That's good stuff there, brother.
Traffic on the 7s is every 7 seconds. We got fender bender in lanes over on the Orange Crush. Hey, tonight on an all-new WB. On the Ward Home, the boss comes over for dinner, but Vicky's on strike. Then on CSI New York, investigators must find the subway strangler before he kills again. And on an all-new Beauty and the Geek, the girls have to change a tire while the guys go to beauty school. Back to you, Nick.
Thanks for the comprehensive traffic report. Now I know what's going on out there in the highways and byways of South. That's Marty St. Clair in the air. Stater Brothers Jet Copter 9. We'll be checking with him every 18 or 20 seconds or so at the top of the hour, quarter hour, half hour. What time is 7:56? 56 away from 7 o'clock. That's 4 minutes on top of the hour. Straight o'clock, 8 o'clock. All right. Again, the boys from Savage Guard coming in. We're going to lay down acoustic set for us. And the neighbor, Wilson from Tim Allen Home Improvement. He stopped by the studio. He's got a religious book on cassette. He's going to drop that off. We'll check that out. T, what's going on in entertainment? News out there.
Over in the Bahamas, Anna Nicole Smith is being buried today. Oh, we're going to miss you, Anna, but here's the thing. A country music performance is going to put the fun in funeral.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Red Bull's out. And say first, I say 7:52, 52 after 7 o'clock, 8 away from the 8 o'clock straight up top of the hour. Again, if you're doing the math, it's 7:52, 52 after 7 o'clock. That's 52 minutes after 7 a.m., and that is 8 minutes away from 8 a.m. That is 2 hours away from 10 a.m. and high noon. Now, military time, it would be 5600 hours and 52 minutes after 52 has gone around. We got Red Bull. He's out in the field. He's out there with Sludge. Big, fat, disgusting Sludge.
So
big,
fat.
Sweaty, fat. Oh, he's eating. Big, fat Sludge. Big, fat, pathetic Sludge. Big, fat, super pathetic Sludge. He's going to die of a coronary disease in the next 20 minutes. But before his lifeless body joins Anna Cole on the ground, you can kick him in the nuts. Kick Big Sludge in the nuts. You walk your way with a beer koozie. Red Bull, where are you?
All right, here's the deal, Dick Gobbler. I'm at the brand spanking new Starbucks in Reseda. Now we're having a coffee chugging contest. But it's different from most. It's not who can drink the most. It's who can chug it while it's still scalding hot. You should sound like me. And by the way, you need to have a vente, which means really big in Italian. And speaking of really, come on down here, because Sludge is a real big big fat guy and kick him in his bed.
I'll tell you what, the first guy gets out there to Starbucks and Reseda and dumps a pot of scalding hot coffee on top of that big fat tub of goo, slides while you're kicking him in the nutsack, trying to walk away the Gobbler Morning Zoo sweatshirt. It's a hoodie saying about that baby. I look like the Unabomber. Yeah, Irwindale checking in 6-7 degrees. Antelope Valley 6-7. Banning 6-7. It is 57 degrees. No, wait, it was 57 after 7 o'clock. It's 57 after 7 o'clock. That's 3 away from 8 o'clock. That way, El Monte checking in 6-7. Azusa 6-7. Tustin 6-7. Cotton 6-7. 6-7, 6-7, 6-7, 6-7, 6-7, 6-7. New traffic, weather, traffic, and news. Now let's go and check highways and byways out there. We got Marty St. Clair in the air. It's the Stater Brothers Jet Copter 9. Marty, how's it looking out there?
Thanks to Tipster Ralph. We got a Caltrans 5 direct to Jamboree Road on the 5. Watch out for the cone zone. Mm. And it's brought to you by K Jewelers. Show her how much you care with the 24-karat gold white earrings. Every kiss begins with K. Back to you, Dick.
That's Marty St. Clair in the air. We got traffic coming in every 11 seconds. It's traffic Jet Copter 9, sponsored by Stater Brothers. The boys from Savage Garden have come and gone. They performed. They were awesome, huh? Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Wilson. Yes, the neighbor from Home Improvement. He's coming in here. He's a good friend of Tim Allen. He's giving us his dirt. He's got a religious book on cassette. We'll get into it with him. God bless him. I don't judge. T-Bone, what's going on in entertainment news?
Well, it's
hold on a second. 57 after 7 o'clock. It's 57 minutes away from 7 o'clock. That's 3 minutes away from 8 o'clock straight up. That's an hour and 3 minutes away from 9 a.m. And that's 4,227 minutes before the time I kill myself by slamming some bad angels. See what's going on in entertainment news.
Is comedian Chris Rock canoodling with his Cutie Pie co-star? The comedian says no, but I say breakup alert.
Oh, that's good stuff. We got that coming out. Again, we have the neighbor from Tim Allen's Home Improvement, Wilson, and Ray Harvard's got a religious book. I said it's coming in here. And I like the boys from Savage Garden. They played an awesome acoustic set in there. I don't know if you guys caught it. It was right between traffic and weather news, traffic and the time. Let's go out to Red Bull one more time. He's out there with big, fat, disgusting intern slug. Kick sludge and us, you walk away the beer koozie. Red Bull, where are you, my brother?
Hey, T-Bone, hey, Dick, I am out here. I'm in Elf Wednesday. We're having the chili cook-off. I'm a little confused. My Spanish isn't what it should be, but Elf Wednesday, doesn't that mean the fire? And we're having chili, and you guys want to get chili to that fat bastard sludge? You should just get down here and kick him in the nuts.
Big sludge in the nutsack. I'll tell you what, first guy can go down to El Puente out there and see Red Bull and dump a can of Sterno or lighter fluid or perfume or diesel fuel. Turn Big Sludge into a Roman candle while his lifeless corpse is burning to the ground. You kick Big Sludge. Kick Sludge in the nuts and turn nuts. So let me get this straight. You douse him in lighter fluid. You light Sludge on fire while he's screaming for mercy and writhing and baying on the ground. You kick that big tub of goo right in the nutsack. You're going to sell it to Gobbler in the morning t-shirt. Tell you that. No one wakes you up like Big Dog. Now this in Covina, 6-7 degrees. Salt Lake, 6-7. City is 6-7. Limited is 6-7. Monrovia, 6-7. It is 53 after 7 o'clock. It's 53 minutes after 7. That is 7 minutes away. One more time, we're going to the sky. Marty St. Clair is in the air. He's got the Stater Brothers Jet Copter 9. Marty!
Dick, we got a Fox bringing lanes on the 405 Sing Alert on the 605 Jackknife Lettuce Truck at the DeVore Pass. Hey, this report brought to you by Olive Garden. When you hear your family, never-ending pasta bowl. Back to you, Dick!
Coming up 9 o'clock hour, we got Wilson. Ray Hartford's the name. He's turning religion Christianity. He's got some religious book on cassette. He's coming in here. Tim Allen's there from Home Improvement. Tall guy. Barrel Laugh. Savage Garden coming in for another acoustic set at the 10 o'clock hour. It is 7:57. That's 57 minutes away from the top of the hour. 8 o'clock straight up. You're listening to Dick Gobbler in the morning. And we'll be right back after we pay some bills.
Guys, next time you're in Las Vegas, be sure to check out Scores Las Vegas, the nation's number one nightclub and cabaret. The award-winning Scores Las Vegas features 6 rooms, 3 DJs, and the most beautiful entertainers in the world. Isn't it time for a road trip?
Now. Next week, the Adam Carolla Show is live in Las Vegas for the Miller Lite Rockin' Racing Weekend, featuring Miller Lite NASCAR driver Kurt Busch, the number one Asian big boob queen Minka, 40 of the hottest strippers in Las Vegas, and Carrot Top, Thursday, March 8th at the Palms Hotel, fueled by Sauza Hornitas Tequila, TravelWarm.com, Subaru, and Miller Lite. Good times. The Adam Carolla Show. Go down
there. Well, now we've managed to book a very controversial guest on this show.
Number one, Asian big boob queen.
Oh, we will be reunited in Vegas, Minka.
Who is number one?
Minka's number one.
You haven't seen her in years, right?
That's right. Well, if you don't count the hours of porn I watch, you know what I mean?
I don't count that.
Oh, okay. Okay, then it's been years. Jody Baby Doll Gibson is on the phone. Jody Baby Doll Gibson is this madam who's come out with this tell-all book, Secrets of a Hollywood Super Madam. It is out now, and she is naming names in her little black book. Names like Ben Affleck and Governor Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Tommy Lasorda, Gary Busey. By the way, here's the deal. If you're a madam and you have a tell-all book, and we'll assume Gary Busey is in your tell-all book right. about humping your sex slaves until otherwise notified. I've right. done the Gary Fair. Busey math. Jody?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from, Jody?
I'm here in L.A.
You're here in Los Angeles. So mm-hmm. let's go back. How did this whole operation start for you?
Oh, such a long journey. Such a long 13 years I was operative. Actually, you know, I came from an entertainment family. My mom discovered Tom Cruise. She's the one that suggested he use the name Cruz. His name was Thomas Mopasser. Mm-hmm. My sister was an Emmy-nominated actress. I was really just had aspirations to be in the recording business and just really wanted to make videos for MTV and moved to Los Angeles and opened up a legitimate modeling agency because that's, you know, what was most familiar to me, having been around my agent mom. Mm-hmm. And I found in the first year, you know, the guys were asking me about the girls were asking me about the guys, and initially I was introducing people to people, never asked for anything, never expected anything until one day I ran into one of the girls in a brand new, you know, Mercedes 600 SL, and I said, hey, you know, where'd you get the cool bands? And she said, from that guy you introduced me to. And, you know,
like, did she talk like Snow White?
Head. Sound like Teresa on a date.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, Jody, yeah. So, yeah, if you own a modeling agency, a lot of people don't know this, or even just a talent agency that has a lot of good-looking women who are in your stable, you'll just get calls from other guys' managers and other guys' publicists right. going, who is that chick from the Dentine commercial? I hear you handle her.
I'd
like to go out. I represent Bruce Willis. He thinks that chick is hot, and he'd like to go to lunch with her.
You know, it's really funny because in the beginning, you know, having come from a sheltered entertainment background, I knew nothing about escorting or any of the like. So the first year, my agency was really legitimate, and I was so protective of the girls, I would never have addressed that kind of call if you had told me that.
So then it turns. At some point, it becomes an escort agency.
It starts to segue. I run into the chick in the Benz. She tells me the guy got it, my client got it for her, and I think, wow, you know, nobody even sent me a thank you note. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I should start charging my standard little 10% agency fee.
I wouldn't expect a thank you note now.
No, not now.
Yeah,
a little late in the game.
We'll get into the guys on the list and how PO'd they must be. But I'm just trying to figure out how the whole thing works. I am interested in any business, how it works. So you get 10%?
No, initially I was still doing my little legitimate agent thing.
Right.
Found out through the grapevine along the way through trial and error that, you know, it was supposed to be a 40% cut. Mm-hmm. And I had like one girl and one guy. What happened, which makes my story most unique, is my entertainment background led me into, you know, casting for Playboy and getting into the adult film market. Mm-hmm. And then bang, another epiphany, you know, came to me. I was, you know, had all these playmates and adult film stars that actually wanted in on the service, and I mm-hmm. suddenly realized that, you know, affluent men would pay any price to meet the gal they just saw in the centerfold, and the epiphany was that I was selling fantasy.
Well, right. They'll pay a premium not only for fantasy, but something that sounds like it, which starts with a P, called privacy.
See, I was going to get discretion,
well,
better part
of
valor.
The warranty is up, my friend.
Really? Because let me tell you something.
Because it expired.
Why? Because let me tell you something. Because you can't hurt me. My name is Danny Bonaducci, And I've been to more hookers than you've been to McDonald's. And I've had them supersized. So there's nothing you can do to me. But I am wondering why you would do this to these people. Why you would, these people are married. They have children.
Actually, most of them were not married at the time.
What about Governor?
Who gave them
Governor Schwarzenegger is a governor.
Yeah, no, I mentioned in the book, he was not a client. What happened was my client, Shep Gordon, if you'd read the chapter, who was Alice Cooper's manager, had flown, some of the girls, you know, had flown us out to Maui to the opening of one of the Planet Hollywood restaurants at that time he had invested in. The deal was, the deal was, he paid the girls to make themselves available to Sly and Arnold. However, Arnold showed up with his wife, Maria.
Good for him. Okay, so, but you are, in fact, let's not get this wrong, because I've got information in front of me, and it says Arnold Schwarzenegger, so it scared me. You are, in fact, a madam, and you deal former madam, who deals in flesh and prostitution, correct?
I was actually in the record business at the same time.
Perhaps you
missed my $35,000 billboard on Sunset. And
perhaps I did when I was boning one of your $1,500 hookers. I want to know,
No, it was $3,000.
Yeah, but
all right.
Nice.
Let's not quibble here over boning and dollars, although that's right.
What else is that?
Good game show.
Good game show, boning for dollars.
Why would you talk about this woman if it's not boning
and
dollars?
Well, I will get into it, but first I just want to know how it works. So this is now, what year are we in?
Well, I started in 87, so it was starting to get into maybe towards, you know, 88, 89, 90.
And Heidi Fleiss is...
Heidi had actually come to work for my service in 1990 as an escort. I couldn't really do much for her because my look had then segued into the real, you know, playmate Pam Anderson type. That's why my website then was California Dreamin'. Hello.
Right.
So my clients were kind of spoiled by that type, and so I sent her on her way, but she went on her own in 91 and was arrested in 93.
Mm-hmm. And you...
She was off for 2 years.
You had to stop the business. Was the business broken up by the feds at some point? Were you arrested?
What happened was I had a love affair with, if you read Chapter 5, Receiving Immunity, Love Finds a Detective, with a big Beverly Hills detective who got me immunity. That particular investigation with Heidi, there were actually 13 other madams operating at full force at that time who also got arrested.
Wait,
however,
did you say a cop just got you immunity?
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Did you say a cop got you immunity?
He was a detective with Bunko.
So did you just narc him out, too? Did you just out him just now?
No, I protected him. In fact, during my prosecution, Internal Affairs had contacted me to sort of offer me a deal, which was up for question in itself. I wouldn't give him up and did every day of my prison time. However, that particular article really outlined, you know, how I was brought into the district attorney and brought my attorney, Richard Green, who was a pro temp judge in Beverly Hills.
All right. This all
gets
very...
Let's get to the sex. I'm bored.
Yes. Sex and money.
You're the one who asked her about her cop
sex,
guy.
But I asked her about sex and money, and you said, we'll get there. And I said, what the hell else is there with this woman?
Okay. Time has passed.
Johnny, let me ask you a question, if you wouldn't mind.
No.
Was a celebrity client, like, say, Ben Affleck, interested in anything unusual in terms of sex?
No, not really. You know, this was in the terms... This was when he was doing those rehab problems, kind of like post-Gwyneth, pre-J-Lo sort of thing. It was before he was married, and he was doing a lot of drugs in those days, and he did party all night.
Well, how does it work? And I'm seeing Tommy Lasorda's name on this list.
Ben Affleck never
did a lot of
drugs.
Yeah, well, that's why I said if you go... Well, first of all, each chapter in the book is accompanied by the court data, the Black Book documents that were used to convict me that the prosecuting attorney introduced as the Black Book data. That said, there's also the LAPD press conference you can download for free on my website
for free,
where you can hear
normally pay a premium to watch this.
Yeah, you can hear the lieutenant brag about my black book and the high-profile professional athlete and all the celebrities. You can hear it yourself. So hearing is believing.
Well, but here's what I'm trying to figure out. If I'm Tommy Lasorda right now, if I'm Mr. Baseball and Mrs. Baseball has walked into my room with a baseball bat is going to take it to Mr. Baseball's balls, I want to know what to say at this point, which is this bitch is nuts and she just wrote my name in her little black book. That doesn't mean anything to me. And if you are Ben Affleck and you want to go to Madam Jody Baby Doll Gibson's place and get yourself a hot blonde. You don't walk in as Ben Affleck. Don't you send somebody to go get her and not say it's for Ben Affleck?
No, on the contrary. He actually contacted my California Dreamin' site directly, thinking he was contacting the girl directly on the website. Mm-hmm. And that's when we had the discussion, and I explained
and
to him.
And does he cut you a check that says Ben Affleck?
He didn't pay by check. I had a cash-only policy. The only client that paid by check, and
Jerry
and I did
Springer
not,
and Charlie Sheen.
Please say Gary Busey.
Exactly, and I did not put him in the book.
Oh, really?
No, he's not in there.
So we have Mark Wahlberg. We have Sylvester Stallone.
One of my heroes.
We have Lasorda. We have Jim Belushi.
Jones. I just did his show last night, Sex Pistols Steve Jones. He told me a nasty story about Stallone that I never heard.
And now let's talk. Oh, what is it?
Oh, it was really nasty, my
tell
friend.
Us.
Something about some girl he knew that Stallone used to like to have her sit nude on a clear glass table and watch her
Stallone.
No, he told me last night it's going to be on air. Listen to yourself on air today, 12 to 2.
Now that we've gotten the story, we've given the website out and everything, let's get in with the assassination part of this interview, which is the unethical... You taking clients, you taking a premium from a client for anonymity, and now you spreading their name all over the news when these guys are now fathers and married. This is, 9 years into their rearview mirror. They're in committed relationships, and this is going to cause some divorces and a lot of therapy.
So you're taking these off, is what you're saying?
I think you're putting a lot more into it. I don't think it's going to cost anybody a divorce.
Well, obviously, you're doing it just for the money.
I'm doing it to sell books, but mostly also because I have a story to tell. And, I was approached by a lot of people to do the movie, as we are now. And, everybody was like, we can't do the movie without the book. Where's
you misunderstand your job completely. You have a story not to tell.
Yes.
That's your job.
Otherwise,
it's my choice. I have a very interesting story to tell. I led a double life as Baby Doll, the recording artist, on television, also on my website. You can see me on the show.
It's all fascinating about Baby Doll until Ben Affleck gets involved.
I don't know. You should start a website, Jody.
I've been thinking. I don't know if you have one.
Hey, Jody.
No, I actually have two.
Here's what my partner, Danny, is saying. He is saying that when somebody pays $3,000 for a lady, $2,000 of it is for the lady, and then $1,000 is for you to shut your mouth.
Yeah, yes. Well, actually, the warranty expired, my friend.
Why do you say that?
The
warranty expired. You know, when I was sent to prison, I didn't get any love letters and thank you cards.
There is no warranty on
this.
The warranty expires.
So it's a three-party deal. There's three people that take place in that. I personally don't think anybody should have been prosecuted. I think it's an antiquated law in dire need of change.
We're living in a puritanical country.
We do.
We're on the same page. These are victimless crimes.
Absolutely.
God knows how much manpower we tie up with this.
I was sent to the most severe prison in
the
state of California.
Who would take care of me
when I was getting my teeth knocked out and my head bashed?
Well, Jody, you chose to do a business.
That's exactly right, and I'm choosing to write the book.
All right.
But didn't you choose? Isn't there anywhere that you ever said, and we don't tell?
Isn't there what?
Isn't there anywhere where you implied to your clients, we will show discretion?
No.
You never said that.
And I'll tell you something that's really interesting. Since, the whole Madam thing has now become obsolete because what happened was girls figured out how to use computers, and girls and computers became a lethal combination. And now what you've got is you've got girls advertising themselves, saturating themselves on the Internet. Nothing's changed. Now the guys are contacting the girls themselves, and now they've got more to worry about. Do you think it's any more discreet now when you've got a little 22-year-old with a big mouth running around?
Well, they don't have a heavy-set stenographer with a black book who's keeping names and dates on everything.
The only difference is I have the edge because I have the courtroom data, which I paid a hard price for.
That's the only difference.
All right, well,
Jody
Baby Doll Gibson, I would be looking over my shoulder.
There's a higher price to pay, and it's coming.
I'll try to remember that.
I feel like Bruce Willis may hire a drifter.
Okay, well, I'll try to remember that. Thanks for the heads up.
All right, Jody. The book is called Secrets of a Hollywood Super Madam. It is out. You can go to supermadamsecrets.com. And why do I plug the website of someone we just locked antlers with? Because Jody came on the show,
exactly.
Because she argued, because she was articulate, because she was willing to dance with us.
Thank you.
That's how it works.
Thank you. That's right.
All right, Jody. We'll see you in heaven.
Okay, bye.
Now, who else has got some stories?
I wanted to like her more.
Yeah. Well, look.
I wanted to cut her throat.
But also, what a shocker that somebody who sold 19-year-old runaways for sex was willing to do the unscrupulous and unthinkable giving out
She's
of names. You know what I mean?
Now. There's a certain...
I understand, but this is like that junkie who drops a dime on the dealer and his buddies in the mob. Like, what a shocker, the guy who's perpetual petty thief and a junkie is willing to squeal and turn state's evidence against us. She's a glorified pimp, obviously, and she's not a pope, and she's not a senator, and she's not a school teacher.
Nice to talk to you.
She's a representative of the world's oldest profession, and
That's
she does
right.
it a disservice.
Tommy Lasorda.
There are certain things that come with fame that are great. Almost all of them.
Yeah.
But you go out, and even a B-lister like me, say I wasn't even married, I just go out to the rainbow.
Why don't you move up to B?
Dude, on Tyra, I say I'm a B-list celebrity with an A-list face. but say you're like just a B-lister like me. But no, I am married. Nobody knows I'm super happily married, and I claim to be happily married, and I'm a Christian. I'm the best guy in the world. And then I call up. No, and then I go to the rainbow, just meet some girl. Well, she turns me into the Inquirer for sure. I mean, that's a gimme.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly pregnant. That's not a gimme, but it's a maybe. You know what I mean? And then your life turns to stuff.
Right.
And then you start getting sued, or you keep out of court. And you
what Sylvester Stallone likes?
I don't want to say this on the air if somebody else with money. You give 25 to 50 grand out just not to go to court and spend 100 grand.
Right.
It's actually a money-saving thing to give the lying person 50 G's.
Sure.
Okay? Somebody somewhere wants to go get laid in peace and quiet and not have their name splashed all over the paper. This is a drag that you can't just go to this lady or these businesses and have your anonymity kept.
To me, and I agree wholeheartedly. I just understand the truth, which is people like this are going to try to make a buck wherever they can. And if it's between your good name and a buck, the buck is going to win every time.
Yeah, the buck stops here.
The bigger thing that bothers is me, as I interviewed Heidi Fleiss, was when you talked to Heidi Fleiss about the 35-guy task force that it took and all the cops posing as Japanese businessmen and all the ones that were having sex and all the tax dollars spent to bring down the 95-pound chick that was getting rich guys laid.
Right.
And then when you hear the guy saying, we just don't have the manpower to put enough guys at the ports to protect the spent uranium from driving through L.A. and having a dirty bomb go off, you think, really? Is that what we've evolved to, where we're taking half the police force and having them go out for cocktails with bimbos posing as businessmen so we can take down somebody who's involved with a consensual crime? Yet we never seem, it's always a manpower thing, when it's always like, hey, how about this? These gangbangers in this gang, we physically don't have the men on the street to prevent the terrorism, to guard the ports, to stop the gangbangers. We don't.
Or the room.
Do we have 35 guys that are banging blonde chicks?
Right. I'm with you.
It's a Ritz-Carlton and a 2-year investigation that costs us millions of dollars. For the love of Christ, can we really, really, what year are we living in? And where are we, pilgrims? Did we just hit Plymouth Rock? What are we, in some religious colony?
Who cares about this? In some state yesterday, and there's seven others, you could probably look it up if you want, it just became legal to live together. They could not cohabitate. It was the same thing.
It
was
on the law.
But it was the same thing. It was treated the same way as rape to live together. Now, of course, nobody used that law. But this is just like I said. If it's the world's oldest profession, there should be some honor to it.
And by the way, speaking of rape, this just in Florida, it is now a misdemeanor to rape somebody.
It may move up to a felony in 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, let's give it some time. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, one of my favorite individuals, not just entertainers, but individuals.
Yeah.
Joel McHale from The Soup.
I love Joel McHale.
Who doesn't?
Joel. He's great.
Joel, that's right. We'll let you know why Danny's repeating Joel's name. We will play you a clip from a recent appearance on Craig Ferguson, where Danny had some things to say about Joel that are going to be uncomfortable when we replay them with Joel McHale in the room from The Soup next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to get out your bindings and dust off your board. It's time to go to Telluride. We've got an amazing deal on a trip to Telluride so you can party with your friends from Free FM. Check out this sweet deal now at 971freefm.com and click on the Telluride link or call 800-291-2588.
To the Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV talk.
Hey, don't try funny. We don't come down to your work and distort the truth.
From E's the Soup, Joel McHale on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Fridays.
Yes.
At 10 o'clock on E! And repeats. A fantastic show and an even better person, Joel McHale.
Yeah,
and that's why
people in the world.
You love the man like
Joel,
a brother.
Like a brother. I love Joel.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes, just Joel I do.
A brother who you don't know that well.
Well, that's why I like
don't
the,
know
that's
who really better. Knows anybody that well.
That's a good
right,
point.
Joel?
Right, good point.
Exactly.
I notice you using the name Joel quite a bit.
Well, it's a favorite of mine, really.
He couldn't even remember my name on the Craig Ferguson show.
Wow.
That's a true brother.
Thank you for stepping on this clip. Here we go.
Donnie Bonaducci, everybody.
Donnie, it's so good to see you.
I haven't seen you in ages. How have you been?
I've been better than that clip you just showed.
I like that show. What's that guy's name that does that show?
Oh, my goodness, it escapes me right now.
Right,
I'm on the show all the time.
Yeah,
he's a good friend of my show. I'm terribly
all right, well,
Joel.
He's funny, that guy, yeah.
He is when he's not being an ass.
That's true.
You did retrieve it from the long-time
memory. I couldn't believe it. I just went blank when he did it. Because, I mean, just so you know, A, I apologize.
I would have done the same thing.
He just blanked out. But I had this bit worked out about Adam that I really wanted to do to shine a light on this radio station. And I was focused on this joke I had set up with our call letters and Adam's name in it. And it was funny. It wouldn't have sounded like a commercial. And I was focused on that.
Yeah, once you have something chambered,
right.
It's hard to pull it out of the chamber and replace it with a new bullet.
And just so you know, what the guy's referring to is as I walk out on stage, Joel smashing me over the head with boards.
One of the greatest moments in my career, too.
That's why I say when he's not being an ass. So that's what I'm referring to. And then I was lost because I had... You're right. Locked and loaded, this Adam Carolla story.
Well, you've been found now because Joel McHale is here with his clips. Yes, Joel.
No, I was going to say, what if he went for the double bonus and said, oh, what's his last name?
I've got it. Eventually, I'd have gotten it. Once I had Joel, I got it. No, I just thrown.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
So I thought, I'm going to come in here tomorrow, and I've told Adam all about this bit because it was kind of mean-spirited if you didn't get it, if you didn't understand it.
Right.
It was about me planning to murder Adam.
Oh.
And I just wanted to make sure he thought it was funny before I did.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't announce it on
his
TV.
His backup bit was about the gang rape being me.
Right,
yeah,
gang rape.
Always funny.
So,
anyway, gang rape, murder.
Joe McNerney's here.
Yes.
He has his soup clips. Joe?
Yeah, that's how it is actually on the street because people don't know E. But, mm-hmm. All right, this clip you are going to love. Mm-hmm. And I realize we give Tyra a bad time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's people like this who are speaking to her that are not helping her ego.
All right, and I want to say quickly before I used to give Tyra Banks a hard time before I heard her announce that she had broken through the color barrier by posing in a bikini on Sports Illustrated during Black History Month. So I've turned the corner on her.
I told her it's a 10-year anniversary, by the way. I said that I'm trying
to be the first male Caucasian to appear in a bikini on Sports Illustrated. She didn't laugh.
Yeah.
No, she's the Harriet Tubman of models on the cover of sports magazines.
Right.
All right, so here we go.
I'm so excited, and I just can't wait to meet Tyra.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
What the hell? Why are you screaming so loud?
She's just so pretty!
Oh,
oh, boy.
I can't believe that made the cut. Somebody heaping praise on how beautiful Tyra Banks was
she
on her show.
No.
And for a moment, it seemed almost as if she was kind of surprised by it, but I'm sure she was just acting.
Yeah, she must have that. People must react that way. They just must scream at the top of their lungs over her beauty everywhere she goes.
I get that a lot.
All right, so no panty party.
No, this is also from, the next one is from Top Model, but this, speaking of panty parties, this is about fur.
This is a panty party!
There you go.
Nice.
No, this next one, the same girl who was screaming, they did a themed photo shoot about an anti-fur campaign, and she doesn't understand what it is at all.
Mm-hmm. If the animal's alive, you shouldn't kill it to make a fur coat or anything, but if it's already dead, then you could take the skin off.
You didn't completely understand the concept.
I know, right?
She sounds hot.
She is so hot you couldn't believe.
Oh my God.
Does she have a crazy thing on her head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
She has a crazy hair.
She looks like she's in from Young Frankenstein.
Hey, but she's piping hot.
She's piping hot with a crazy huge like afro mohawk.
But sounds like if the Sling Blade guy was raised in Queens.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. Yeah, like a Rosie Perez.
Not funny.
She's like a Rosie Perez who's been hit by a baseball bat.
Yeah, Rosie Perez if she was more annoying without the class.
Yeah.
I feel like this was fun.
Although this is the kind of thing that could really burn you. Like if you were going to date her and she picked up the phone and you heard her talk and you're like, put your roommate on the phone. And then when she opened the door, you're like, all right. And then she's like, no, my roommate's behind me. Broomhilda.
But it's one of when the models start laughing at her. And if models are laughing at how stupid you are, that is, I can't think of how much more stupid you can be.
It's like a concentration camp victim laughing at an anorexic.
Yeah.
There's just something odd about that.
Yeah. And then she got thrown off, but she probably doesn't even know it. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Well, what else do we have?
All right, this is from The Insider. And as you know, The Insider walks the line between celebrity news and freak show circus.
Right.
Listen.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why. You'll see. Yeah.
All right.
TV's nearly 900-pound mother, Renee's last-ditch surgery to save her life. Plus, inside Vanessa Minnillo's bikini photo shoot.
And Vanessa Minnillo is one of their reporters.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't she the one that donned the fat suit to see how attractive people were treated?
That was her.
Wasn't she also having an affair with some celebrity that she was covering? Oh, and they said that was bad.
She tasted like champagne.
Can I say this about these shows? Because they've turned into sort of sideshows, of geek shows now. And I've brought this up before, but it bears repeating, which is, I watch shows and I watch Survivor, and there'll be the hot chick who's trying to run across the log, and somewhere her bikini comes down a little and a little ass crack peeks through her bikini, and they go ahead and tile that out.
Like Jodie Foster on the Coppertone commercials, except grown up.
Right. God forbid we see just a little ass crack on a 19-year-old who's trying to get across a log. But a half hour or an hour earlier on these news shows, we have the world's fattest man.
Right.
He's 1,100 pounds. Here he is attempting to get out of bed with the help of a broomstick. He has triple D cups.
Mm-hmm.
He is shirtless.
He's shirtless.
He has
always naked.
He has man boobs bigger than any woman I've been with that are covered with saucer-sized areolas and stretch marks. And then later on, we have a camera in the operating room because he's undergoing a stomach-shrinking process. So now I get to see the same guy splayed over it open. Now, look. I'm not a religious person, so I just know when I'm offended. I don't look at the Bible to figure out when I'm offended.
Right.
My eyeballs tell me when I'm offended. 3.5 inches of nubile hot ass crack versus super morbidly obese stretch mark man boob areola size Frisbees guy who's now going on into the OR and going to be splayed open. What's more offensive and what's going on?
What is
going on? I feel like I'm being punished. I feel like the entire world said, you know, that Corolla, he's an atheist and he's sane. Let's punish him.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I'm eating my dinner and holding my hand up because the morbidly obese guy's making me want to vomit with his rolls of fat and his man boobs. And then don't even get me started when the surgery, and then all the plastic surgery, cutting people's eyelids open, peeling their face off, fine. Just don't show any areola or any nipple. Wait, let me correct that. You can see areola if it's on a huge fat man.
Right.
Not on a beautiful woman.
Okay.
Right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, on your behalf and your defense, I'm coming to your defense even though you don't feel that you need it.
Mm-hmm.
If most of the world, average by definition, is average, typical, American, you wouldn't be special. If most of the world wasn't average,
it'd be worth it.
It would not.
It'd be worth it.
You make far more money than you deserve.
All right, but I would be making $9 an hour.
So would everyone else.
Sitting in my apartment watching hot nipplage on television instead of morbidly obese, fat.
I know, but when they tease that they have those anorexic twins on, I will watch for 20 minutes to see the anorexic twins in Australia.
It's hard to watch. Yeah. And now with all the plastic surgery stuff, every other story is a plastic surgery story. Mm-hmm. These women who have obviously a disorder, who look disgusting, right. are now we've brought the cameras into the OR and we're cutting people open.
Yeah, they're body dysmorphic and we're watching.
So we've now come to the point where you can essentially watch an autopsy TV in prime time. Not offensive at all, but a little ass crack or some areola. Boom.
I like to
FCC.
Watch conjoined twins being separated by only horses.
Mm.
I would watch that.
Yeah, I would watch that. Yeah. All right, Joel. Sorry. Stealing your
thunder. Not at all. I fully agree. And the only worst thing is that they'll show the 900-pounder, but then they'll go, but first, Paris Hilton at the Ivy. Like
right.
you were saying. But, and then they go right back into the anorexic twins getting. So you it just shifts so quickly that you can't keep up. Anyway.
All right. What's next on the hit parade?
Next, how much time? We got time?
We'll do one more and then we'll take a break.
All right. Let's just go to wife swap deer pee. Yeah. And let's just enjoy this.
Okay.
We raise white-tailed deer, collect the urine, and bottle it. Her face told me a lot. She has no interest in the deer pee at all.
I pray they're bottling it for hunters, not as a beverage.
Or an aphrodisiac.
I don't know what they're bottling it for.
I think they do it. Hunting. I think they do it for hunting.
Yeah,
because
so much of it
is a scent.
That doesn't really help because deer hunters. I've seen a friend of mine went and described it, but I've seen it on TV as well. They go up into these little perches on trees and don't move for days at a time and rub deer urine on themselves.
Yeah,
it's the worst. That,
by the way, they're not They're not called tree. They're called Jack Shacks.
Jack Shacks.
Yeah, I thought that's how
I'm doing. I'm doing the wilderness math.
Okay.
You're up there alone for 2 days eating pemmican and stream water. Believe me, there's gonna be some business going on up there.
I thought you had a real title. And that
no,
was
me too. I just
no,
figured it
don't
out.
Stand under one. That's all I'm saying, T. You do wear your beekeeper's hat.
I will.
We need
Rubbing
to take a quick break. Joel McHale's here from the Sioux.
We stay.
Oh, yeah, I got some good ones.
What are we going to hear when we come back?
I'll just say you're going to hear some bestiality.
All right. Simple.
Joel McHale. Commercial break.
More clips, bestiality.
All right, great.
When we come back on the Adam Carolla Show.
See what's coming off at the Spearmint Rhino in City of Industry, Torrance, and Van Nuys. Visit spearmintrhino.com. Perfect for bachelor and birthday parties. I'll see you at the Rhino. Spearmint Rhino.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight at 6:30 on FSC. Don't watch Football Asia. Soccer highlights from 20 Asian nations. At 8 p.m. on PBS, be sure to miss Antiques Roadshow, appraising an 18th century Pennsylvania spice cupboard. And at 9 on Hallmark, definitely don't watch Walker, Texas Ranger. Walker protects a Special Olympics athlete who is also a murder witness, with guest star Deion Sanders. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, that's going to the Not Watch Hall of Fame. And look, I fully suspect, as an atheist who thinks like a normal individual, and I've spoke on it before, I think this whole life is just a bad joke. I look at myself as a traveler from the future who've come back to be tortured, not to share any information, not to collect any samples. I'm a traveler from the future who's come back to be tortured.
Like you were in some sort of sci-fi prison and this was your sentence?
Yes. When I find out that this is all one big Truman show and I'm Truman, I will find out that Walker, Texas Ranger never existed. That it's only in commercial form, that I never actually made an episode.
Like, what, there was no Caroline in the City?
I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. I feel like I've heard people talk about it.
I've seen
Next on Walker, Texas Ranger, but I feel like that's all just part of the elaborate gaslighting.
Did
that's
anybody
taking
else notice that the I'm the time traveler from the future who's come back to be punished, that sentence started with, as an atheist who thinks like a normal person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm a time traveler.
Yeah, well, maybe.
That's actually the beginning of a Black Sabbath song, I guess.
All right, Joel McHale here from The Soup.
Yes.
E's best and only show, to my knowledge. Friday nights, 10 o'clock.
Wait, it is the only show.
It's Joel McHale, Joel McHale, and more Joel McHale. And speaking of Joel McHale, you teased us with a little bestiality.
Yeah, now Fox News, as you know, lost the elections, a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
A few months ago. And
right.
So they have turned to comedy programming, and I like to call it Fox's new edgy programming.
Mm-hmm.
This is a show called Red Eye.
I don't know what else to say about bestiality, except I always find it fascinating because there are certain animals that I see as sexy.
Oh, yeah? Like?
Pomeranian dogs.
Oh,
who?
What?
I tuned into this thing accidentally.
This is on Fox News. This is regular main Fox News channel.
And they're talking about bestiality and a Pomeranian. Who was that?
I don't even know his name. He's one of the main hosts. And they have, like, their very... loose, edgy, roundtable discussions where they're like, I don't know, Anna Nicole, I mean, maybe the baby's a dolphin. I mean, it's in the Bahamas, that sort of thing.
Sad.
It's Dick Gobbler on television.
Dick. I will say this. I know this is controversial. I love my dog. I don't love, but I love my dog, Molly, very much. But I will say, if I was a dog and I was given the choice between...
What breed would you pick?
No. If I was given the choice as a dog... They pulled me aside and they said, Mr. Dog Corolla, here are your choices. You can go down to the airport and sniff out explosives. You can travel up to Alaska and pull a fat lesbian across a frozen tundra for 1,700 miles. Or you can hang out at home and have sex with a human being. Wouldn't take long for me to pick C.
Really?
Would not take long for me to go with C. I'm sorry. I know that sounds twisted and bizarre, but you give me Iditarod. Dragging 200-pound lesbo 1,700 miles, some of my mates dying and us eating them on the way versus getting down with my owner. I'm going to the owner.
This is damn exciting.
It's more disgusting because, Molly, your dog is actually a fairly sizable dog. Pomeranians are small. Would you still take that deal?
Here's the thing on that.
Interesting.
I once got in trouble in Chicago for saying this, but that was a decade ago. There's no dirty words. Just, Brian, you stop me if you think I'm crossing line or that, bleep me out or whatever. There's a technique to it.
Oh, come on, please.
Just dynamite.
You wear boots.
So glad I did not.
It's a sheep we're talking about.
A sheep.
You wear boots like waders.
Uh-huh.
And you put the sheep's hind legs in the waders with you.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Then you march the sheep up to a cliff.
Shut up and sit down.
Every time you go for it.
I'm with you.
Slow down. Joel's right.
I just wanted to let you know that's how it's done.
Oh, it is?
He marched this sheep to a cliff.
Yeah, where do you get
it? Backs up.
What if you don't have a cliff?
Dude, I don't even have a sheep.
A precipice will do.
A ledge.
Any port in a storm. Evidently, that is the rallying call of this man.
That guy, he just got a friend who pushes it on the head.
Now,
I don't know.
How do you learn this, Danny?
I know everything.
There is no end to the information that you have provided.
Is this the story
today?
You had loaded for Ferguson and then forgot my name?
Yeah, that's why I forgot.
Danny's going to be at the Learning Tree Annex, by the way. It's out in Carlsbad coming up. Yes. All right, that is filthy and disgusting, but still.
Interesting.
If I was a sheep and you gave me the choice between lamb chops and Bonaducci's waiters, you'd do the math. All right. Bonaducci's waiter sounds like the equivalent of Davy Jones' locker to a sailor. You're going to end up in Bonaducci's waiters.
Unfortunately, we had a guest here yesterday, and I was his waiter. Remember yesterday?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was that guy's waiter once.
Just flash forward to our lunch that we're planning that we're going to all have with our bosses today.
Will this be
interesting
today?
When they talk about the sheep sex talk we
have? Yes. Well,
the show
perhaps.
Was really rolling when you got to the waiters.
Perhaps we should move forward.
Preference. Good call.
Yes. Joel, what else do you have for us?
Well, do we have good time? How much time we got?
We got a couple minutes.
All right. Well, let's do this clip from The Hills,
mm-hmm.
which all I can introduce is these guys are douchebags.
God, I'm such habit of just seeing a girl laugh and like hitting on them, but I'm always like, girlfriend, I don't win it. You got to find a lady. Now that I got a girlfriend, you need a girlfriend so we can double date. Heidi's trying to get us a role to Jen Bunny's birthday at Les Deux. She's a cutie pie. I think you should mac Jen, to be honest. Jen is cute. Tell you how to get in the back door.
This guy's a Navajo Indian wind speaker, whatever those guys were called. Wind talker.
Right.
I don't understand a word he said. I think Roe means
all
ride.
I do. This two is... of us or something?
Oh, Chief.
Yeah, Danny's waiters.
Chief, from this clip, was this one of your...
Of
was he one of your braves?
No, running with douchebag. going back door of teepee. He like two squaw. Menage a squaw.
It's interesting. The chief actually understands better than we do.
Menage a squaw.
Will there be waiters, chief?
Use waiters. Use bar backs. Use bus boys. Use them all.
Will there be gambling?
They'll be gambling on whether those waiters are dry on inside. Oh.
Chief, in your culture, is it okay to use every part of the sheep?
We use every part. Even before we eat, we'll use. They call it hump roast. White man know it is rump roast. We know it's hump roast. Yahey!
Chief, could you just bless the Joel McHale's next TV clip?
Joel McHale, gay bean pole, asexual,
Chief.
On Eno ratings.
E,
Chief, could you just wrap this government blanket around you?
Loveless relationship. Beard waiting in Subaru.
Joel, I speak Choctaw, and it sounds nothing like what some words
he
sound.
Said beard and Subaru.
Here's the thing: in Choctaw, Subaru means it's like the same as BMW in English.
Would hump T if he had D.
That means what it sounds like.
Nothing in TP.
What's D?
It's first letter of what you are. All right, Joel. One more good story.
All right, here we go. This is going to be my favorite clip. It's actually it's not a multiple choice. It's an either or. Is this, it's a question for all of you. Is this either a clip from Wife Swap or Teresa's boyfriend post coitus?
Well, it's gonna be some tears.
I just feel really terrible right now. I'm doing this to my children. They're such troopers. And I want to do the rules, but I don't want to do it at their death.
Dude, it's breaking Paladucci and I'm wasted.
Joel McHale, you play cards right.
Yes.
You take hike down T's happy trail of tears.
It's a happy trail.
Nicely done, Chief.
Yeah, hey.
What he said was, you have a beautiful, beautiful wife at home who we're all sure that you love dearly.
We wrap up segment.
Thought I was getting enough.
Correction, dirge. And move on to exciting part of show.
I'm glad I was able to
wrap
slow
up
things
round
down.
Eye.
He wants you to hurry up.
Oh, that can be it.
No.
One more. Okay,
one more.
Larry Burkhead.
One
Larry
more.
Burkhead. Here's a guy who went to the Bahamas and is constantly following Larry Burkhead around. And, of course, the Today Show has him on to talk about what happened.
Of course.
Good morning, Meredith. I can tell you that I can update, actually, reveal what happened when Larry met little Danny Lynn. He fed her, he burped her, and then she threw up on him.
Great story.
So now, basically, what happened?
This is the problem. We have 5,000 channels, and they're on 24 hours, and they need to be filled. We should have grown the channels as the content grew.
Right.
The problem is we got too many channels too fast, and now we got to hear about Larry Burkhead's friend. You see, yeah. Because we have 5,000 channels, 24 hours. We need 10 billion hours of programming a day. And there's only 18 hours worth of interesting stuff. Thus, we have a friend of a guy we don't know and don't like telling us about something we don't care about.
Right. Very well said.
Thank you. Joel McHale, everybody.
Thank you.
The soup.
Yes.
Best. Always a pleasure, Joel.
Just the diary of television.
I love your show.
Best show on TV. Fridays.
God bless you.
At 10 o'clock. Now, when we come back, my colossal size rant right over on. The school bus crash that tragically took place this morning. I think 6 people dead.
That's right.
So
Ohio.
Far, and 20 pretty seriously injured, so they say. There might be other deaths as well. But as I was thinking about it, it was funny. I think 7 people died during the whole Manson, Slaughter, Sharon Tate, LaBianca thing. It's a weird thing how it works in your mind. That thing gets etched in. This thing will be gone by Sunday.
Right.
Same body count, practically, and collectively a much younger, more promising group, if you will.
But it also could be due to too many channels once again, right?
Yes.
It's just going to be covered over.
I will give a huge vitriolic rant next on the Adam Carolla Show. All the time your life passes.
That sounds good. Oh yeah, what you're about to hear is powered by the men of the square table, who want you to know that the garage fridge is for beer only. Duh. Miller Lite. Good call.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, hair transplants.
Surely the powdered wig would never go out of fashion.
Well,
that was Adam Explains Hair Transplants to 1780s Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, now a semi-familiar rant for those of you who are fans of mine, but this one is going to be... Let's get a little drop of rocket fuel into it. Yes,
Danny. I would just like to say in advance that I am a fan of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And have never heard one of your rants. I didn't know they actually existed as a specific thing.
Oh, well, I don't really know. They're really.
And my wife is too. I told her because she was all upset about something you said. I mean, excited in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, apparently there's this huge rant thing coming up on it. So Gretchen and I would assume others are glued to their radio.
Well, you'll know it's a rant when my eyes close. I will close my eyes. I'll start squinting like Gilbert Godfrey, and I'll make fists. And once in a while, I'll do my rant dance where I just throw wild punches into the air. We'll see if it gets that going. But first things first, this is me at 5 a.m. this morning watching CNN, seeing this horrible bus crash of the university in Ohio. I guess it's Bluffton College or University in Ohio. It went off an overpass. It's like worst nightmare for a parent and certainly anyone in that bus. First thing of it is they said a little leaguers. They were baseball players. They were college-age baseball players. I just saw one interviewed on TV. He has a shaved head and a goatee, and he looks like he's about 6'5 and 218 pounds. So how this initially got reported as Little League is something... Well, that's beyond dropping the ball as a reporter. That's sensationalism. You knew as they were dragging the 200-pound men who were in their 20s from the buses, it was not a Little League team, as which it was reported for the first 2 hours of CNN. But that's a sidebar. The real one is the bus and how many people died in the bus, which I think now is 6. And there may be more because there were some severe injuries.
3 are critically injured.
Critically. So one of them, it could be as many as 7 dead. But I thought to myself, we are obsessed with seatbelts in this country. If I came from another planet and I landed on this planet and you asked me to report back what they're into, I would say Eva Longoria and seatbelts. These are the things this country is obsessed with. They have bells and buzzers that go off in your car. They never stop doing PSAs on it. When you drive along the freeway, there are big electronic signs that say click it or ticket. And every PSA, whether you're in, when you get on an airplane, forget about it. I would like them just to choke me out with a goddamn seatbelt so I don't have to hear any more about put the seatbelt on, make sure it's in place, tighten it down, here's how it goes. Do we really need the long-winded tutorial about how the seatbelt goes? Is anyone going to raise their hand and say, seatbelt, what is this device? I've not heard of this. How did I make it to age 47 without ever hearing, what do you call this? Lap what? Seatbelt? Male, female, and how to slow down, bitch! I can't tell what this is! And then the pilot gets on the blower and he's like, okay, we turn on the seatbelt placard. There's a light up placard with audible buzzing now as it goes on in case you missed the 45-minute long-winded blowhard bitch who talked to you about the seatbelt thing. It's okay to take your seatbelt off momentarily if you have to use it. As a matter of fact, if you have to use the bathroom, please stand up in the aisle of seats, strap to your ass, and drag it because I don't want the seatbelt taken off and then go in and as a matter of fact, if you have to do number two, just make it in your pants because we got a little turbulence coming up here, but I want the seatbelt. Seatbelt can be turned on, can be turned off, can be unplugged. There are no less than 175 seatbelt conversations that go on every goddamn airplane. But just because the Ad Council, these are the folks that reside in Pueblo, Colorado, and waste your hard-earned tax money on nothing, they figured it wasn't discussed enough on an airplane. So let's hear the first one. This is a PSA, a public service announcement, warning you about something called seatbelts.
What a tough thing your body is. It's built to withstand bending, pinching,
ouch,
tattooing,
ow,
swimming,
bumping. No kids ever drown in a pool.
Shaving.
Loud noises.
Childbirth.
Yeah, no one's ever died during childbirth.
No, never.
45.
Football.
Yeah, football. Tell that to Daryl Stingley. Oh, bend down. He's in a wheelchair.
Cooking.
Bad cooking.
Rollerblading.
Rollerblading with the car slamming on the brakes. And as if no one's ever been injured. And by the way, I don't work at a emergency room. But I'm going to go way out on a limb and say I'm going to see more people over the course of the year who are brought in for rollerblading accidents than air turbulence accidents. But let's listen.
Marathons.
Right.
Even company meetings. But there's something the human body isn't built to withstand. Mm. Unexpected turbulence. Mm. Happily, yeah, though, planes are built to withstand that really well. Right. All you have to do is wear your safety belt the entire flight.
That's right.
So next time you fly, stay buckled up the whole time. Because after all, turbulence happens, and you're just not built for it.
Now I've said, is this a necessary public service announcement or is just another minute out of our lives wasted another few thousand dollars in production? And if pants came with a bitch in a squawk box and a red light and a placard that was illuminated and the buzzer every time the zipper wasn't brought up, would you need a public service announcement reminding you to pull your zipper up, or would the bitch with the peanut cart who was giving you the stink eye be enough? Or how about the placard? Or how about the thing? Obviously, we don't need a public service announcement to tell us to put a seatbelt on in an airplane. But if you do, go ahead and craft one of these tremendous wastes of time and money. Perhaps you shouldn't use as examples things that have claimed many, many, by thousands and thousands of percentage points, more lives each year than airplane turbulence. How many people died in domestic flights from airplane turbulence last year? Zero. How about the year before that? Zero. How about the 10 years before that? Zero. Now, you want to factor in childbirth? That was an example. I'm sure a couple of folks, probably historically, probably into double digits, even if died during bad cooking, food poisoning, swimming. Swimming.
We had Tommy Lee on.
Yes, we had Tommy Lee on. Yes, a swimming. You know how many people die? How many kids die in a swimming pool every year? These are all. Oh, and then football. Sure. I don't even know if anyone's ever even sprained an ankle playing football. Yes, people die. So first things you retards have done over there at the Ad Council and rollerblading. Rollerblading into traffic with it. So first thing you sons of tards have done is you've created the world's worst public service announcement that wastes the most money and uses five or six examples that are much more dangerous than the thing you're claiming takes more bodies, which takes zero bodies. But we're obsessed with seatbelts. We never stop talking about seatbelts. And the other thing we're obsessed with is kids. These are the things we love. We love our children. Here's another beauty from the Ad Council. These guys are doing the Lord's work over here.
Hey, what are you doing after the game?
Well, there's a big party at Jason's. His parents are out of town, and there's going to be plenty to drink.
I think I'll pass. You're gonna pass up a party?
Well, it sounds more like trouble than a party.
Make the right choice. Underage drinking always means trouble.
Yeah, that's right. It's you wouldn't dumb, want anything to happen to the kids. Illegal. No secondhand smoke for the kids.
I'm going to stay out of trouble.
Get them in that child safety seat. By the way, those were guys in their 40s trying to sound like they were 14. But another great waste of taxpayer money coming from our good friends at the Ad Council, who, by the way, I've asked to come on this show many, 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 many times, but they will not. Why? Well, if you wasted an S-load of tax money doing nothing, how excited would you be about coming on this show? But, so... Kids safety and seatbelts. These are the things we are obsessed with in this society, except for there's a long thing, and you guys can do the math, and this was originally got me going. There's a long metal tube. It doesn't have wings on it. It has wheels on it, and it holds kids. What's it called? What is the name of that? Ah, it's called a bus, and it's used to transport millions of young children every single day. Sometimes it takes them to grammar school. Sometimes it takes college kids to road games, but it transports millions of young people every day. But guess where the only place where there's no seatbelts is? Airplanes? Yes. Cars? Yes. Yes. Where wouldn't we put those seatbelts? I know, the bus. The one thing that holds 40 of the most precious pieces of cargo we have. And again, I'm talking to an alien. And he's saying to me, I don't understand because you guys, and he speaks perfect English and he sounds like me. I don't understand. You guys do nothing but talk about seatbelts. And when you have it, when you're young human, what do you call them? Humans? When there's a young one, you have to strap him in. My kid is strapped in like a Top Gun pilot. He's strapped in, not only the auto seat, I had to get the jaws of life to get the kid out of the goddamn high chair the other day in a five-way harness in there. It was like, I yelled at my wife, listen, is this guy eating strained peas or is he doing the Baja 1000? He is strapped into this goddamn thing like a test pilot. Shut up, Sonny. Point is I have to wrap my kid's head in duct tape and foam packing peanuts if I transport him, but as soon as he gets old enough to get out of that child seat where he's strapped in with the airbags and the crumple zones, soon as he hits about his sixth or seventh birthday and he hops on a school bus, well, it's free range in there, baby. You can run away all you want, but if we get on an airplane, I'm going to have to strap him down like a mental patient again and hear the bitch tell me about the seatbelt. What is it? And which is it? Are we obsessed with seatbelts or aren't we? Are we obsessed with kids? All right, I would make the argument, if I'm the alien, I would say, well, the first place... You put the seatbelts, it's the goddamn school bus. We'll get to planes, we'll get to minivans, we'll get to the rest of it as we go, but the first and only, and if you had one place to put seatbelts, it would be on the goddamn school bus. Yet, no safety belts on the school bus. Now, what is that? What kind of retarded message is that? And why should we listen? That's my point. When the government tells us not to gamble and then does an ad for the lottery, why should we listen? When we hear these retarded PSAs talking about your seatbelt and your kids every 30 seconds, yet once in a while some senator raises his hand and goes, why don't we put a seatbelt on a bus? And they go, nah, nah, can do. Nope. You'll be strapped in like a Formula One car driver when you get into your personal car, but as soon as you get out of that, as soon as we take 20 minutes unlocking you from that, we transport my kids like Hannibal Lecter. I actually take my kid and I strap him to a refrigerator doll. I put a hockey mask on him. I wrap him in bubble tape and I drag him to the car and then we strap him down 30 ways to Sunday. But as soon as we release him from all that, from his Houdini-like binds in the minivan, he can go right in the school bus and slide around. No headrest, just a nice thick piece of metal for your head to bang against. No headrest, no lap belts, just a nice piece of vinyl for you and the other kid to slide around on. So which is it, please? And why don't we do this? Or, as I would prefer, I don't want school buses to have seatbelts. I want us to shut the F up about seatbelts if and we don't care about them. And I've done the bus math. We don't care. All right. Yeah, and who knows, if this thing had seat belts and they were belted in, I'm sure there'd be a much higher survival rate. We've been talking about it for 50 years. We just don't have the money. We can't get around to it.
There actually are two states, according to USA Today, that require students to use safety belts on their school buses. Only two states, and oddly enough, one of them's Florida.
Two?
Yeah, New Jersey.
Out of, what do we have, like 18?
I think something like that.
Two states out of 50 require it.
And by the way, there are 6,000 annual injuries on school buses and 20 deaths, according to USA Today.
And, you know, you're going to miss all the fun.
Yeah, but what about airplane turbulence? I mean, close your eyes, everyone. Everyone, just close your eyes. I don't care if you're behind the wheel. You're belted in. Close your eyes and picture a loved one, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a schoolmate. We've all lost somebody to either secondhand smoke or airplane turbulence. Yes?
Yes.
How
yes.
would I know that?
We all know the person we've lost this to airplane turbulence. Okay.
Do you know how much a seatbelt it would cost to add seatbelts
to a bus?
Oh, it'd
be at least $12 a seat to retrofit those
well,
babies.
Well, the bus costs
and Adam can put them on in one commercial ride.
Right, probably good. The bus costs $80,000 to $95,000, and according to USA Today, adding seatbelts costs $4,000.
$4,000 for the entire bus. Way too high price to pay for the safety of your 9-year-old.
Far too much. You know, if Isabella's going to go in a bus crash, I ain't spending $4,000.
So after it takes you an hour to unstrap your kid, they can ride along in the bus sliding around while the menopausal coos who's steering it with the cataracts, who's taking a nip off a hip flask, is driving into oncoming traffic. No need for safety belts there, I agree. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Please, people, can we prioritize tea?
Yeah.
I'm going to prioritize by wanting to hear the news next. What's coming up?
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but there was a bus crash.
Oh, thank God those legs were all belted in.
No. It hurts, yes. There is the craziest S going on in the Bahamas right now with Anna Nicole Smith's funeral. It's unbelievable. You'll think I'm making it up. And I'm going to have to ask you about Kelly Pickler last night on Idol and whether or not you think she had a boob job.
Mm. Wow. All right. We'll be back with that and more next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to get out your bindings and dust off your board. It's time to go to Telluride. We've got an amazing deal on a trip to Telluride so you can party with your friends from Free FM. Check out this sweet deal now at 971freefm.com and click on the Telluride link or call 800-291-2588.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
The Beckhams coming to California. Why, you'll get to see every bit of their big move at 10.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
We got to send a couple Mexicans over to England.
Why?
We're trading out for the Beckhams.
That's fair, I guess.
That's the way.
Look, we get Posh and the greatest soccer player ever, and they get some...
It's all about balance. I got nothing against my Mexican brethren, but we're heavy. Well, what would be the word? We're lousy with Mexicans in this state. We got too many.
Remember
and we got to start moving
only,
them around.
You said about only thinking the racist lines?
Please refrain from using...
this
isn't racist, which is...
you think of the words too many.
Yes.
There's terrible traffic in Los Angeles that kills me. That's why I ride a motorcycle. The second it warms up enough, I always ride a motorcycle. I put my life in danger so I can split lanes and not be stuck for hours. I passed $300,000 Lamborghinis sitting there like an idiot on my $10,000 motorcycle, and I zip right past them and I laugh. If you took any major part of the population and sent them to England, traffic would lighten up. So he can say, we're lousy with white people. Let's send all the white people to
Now, listen, I'll be honest. It's about balance. And what you want, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Now, there's probably states like Minnesota that are a little bit light in the Mexican department.
Yeah.
What you want is the melting pot.
So we should have a cultural swap with Minneapolis?
Yeah. Maybe? I like to mix it up. I don't know what
I happen to agree with this.
I don't know what... Well, let's put it this way. I don't think I've ever seen a Puerto Rican in the flesh. Well, I've seen a few throw baseball on TV. But I don't think I've ever actually... Now, I got nothing but Mexicans here, but we're light Puerto Ricans. Now you go East Coast, you got Puerto Ricans. We'll swap some of our Mexicans for Puerto Ricans. Give us some of those. We'll get to Minnesota. We'll get a few folks from, the Netherlands or something. Send a few of them over here. Mix it up. That's all I'm saying, people.
That's actually happening. Like Chicago, where it's freezing and a great town, though, the Mexican population has quadrupled in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I don't know many people from England, for instance. There's a handful. Once in a while, you meet a Brit, and I bet they haven't met too many Mexicans.
Right.
Let's mix it up.
Why don't we take fine young Mexicans and take them to where it's really cold and wet all the time? They come from a country where it's sunny and you can kick back and lean up on against the cactus with your hat down.
I haven't given it that much thought.
Okay.
It's in a preliminary phase.
It's a good idea.
Yes, T.
Yes.
The news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Let me fill you in on what's going on in the Bahamas.
Okay.
They could use some Mexicans.
Anna Nicole Smith, obviously dead in a hearse. It was stopped because her mother, Virgie, filed a last-minute petition trying to stop the burial in the Bahamas as the body was going to be buried in the hearse. Now, the hearse, I should say, has elaborate chrome rims.
Spinners on a hearse, that's bad taste.
Is she rolling on 24s?
That's bad form. If they have hydraulics, if the front end of the hearse is bouncing 8 feet off the ground, that
is
horrible
form. That's not hydraulics.
That's Anne in the back.
Well, okay. All the hangers on jumping.
Well, she was taken out of the hearse, and there's a red carpet, and I'm not kidding you. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. There's a long red carpet that the pallbearers are walking the hearse down like it's an opening instead of a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's an award show. And the casket was covered in some sort of pink cloth with ribbons and feathers coming off of it.
How bizarre that her funeral would be garish.
Yeah.
I would thought it'd be very understated.
Yes, now there are only supposed to be 30 people at the graveside burial, but there are going to be 300 people attending a funeral service at a Baptist church. You're going to hear a little bit of this song there. It's a Dolly Parton song. Some country singer and friend of hers is going to be performing. Joe Nichols is going to be performing at her wedding. Anna and he met back in 2005. This is called I'll Wait For You. Oh, no, it's called Wings of a Dove.
And so he'll be performing.
This is what you'll hear at the funeral.
It's got to be an uncomfortable conversation for him. He's packing his bags. His buddy's like, where are you going? Going on the road to perform. Where, Vegas? Grand Ole Opry? Carnegie Hall? Not exactly. 300 pieces of white trash in the Bahamas.
By the way, you guys were speculating what B-list celebrities would be there.
Yes.
Here's the first report.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Slash.
Oh, no.
Slash?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Slash go? I know him. What does he have to do with any of this?
Well, he's there, according to TMZ. There's a photograph.
He's just drunk in the Bahamas and wandering.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there.
Yeah.
You think he just happened to be in the Bahamas?
Dude, it's Slash.
Sir, you're going to have to check your top hat.
He's going, where's this party? What's up? What are all these roses? Oh, I'm in Guns N' Roses.
I saw Slash. When Slash was on Loveline, he once pulled his shirt up to show me a Slash's snake pit tattoo on his back. While he attempted to pull his shirt over his head, it knocked his lit cigarette into an open motorcycle boot he was wearing, and he literally caught his sock on fire, but he was so high that he was explaining to me about this tat, and I was like, and the snake represents, and I'm like, Mr. Slash, there's a flame coming from your socks on fire. Yeah. He lit his boot on fire.
He's in the Bahamas.
He doesn't know he's in the Bahamas.
The Atlantis or whatever it is, and he saw roses and thought they must be for him.
Well,
right.
Adam, based on that story, I would have said definitely not a Jew.
Probably
but
not.
But he is a half a Jew.
Oh.
His real name is Saul Hudson, so I'm going to guess.
Guessing. Let me tell you right now, I hold myself no higher than any of the beanless guys that are there. I've been on every stupid-ass show milking this chick's death forever just to get our call letters up there. You know, I don't hold myself. If I could have gotten on camera there and gotten us a bunch of press, I'd have totally done it.
He should have told us last week, Bonaducci.
Oh, they know. You wouldn't believe what I'm already being told not to do, that I'm going too far.
Silver would have fired up the corporate jet, which says Southwest on the side of it is burnt orange, and there's 100 losers on every flight. But he would have fired up the corporate jet and sent you right out there. All right, T, what other? Are there any other? I don't want to hear this from some C-list celebrity. Even though I've never met Anna, she always touched me, and I don't want any. Those people should be clubbed to death because obviously they're there for nothing but publicity.
Slash is the first B-lister out. We'll see. I'm sure there are going to be many, many more. Last night on American Idol, four people were sent packing. But more interestingly, perhaps, Kelly Pickler made an appearance. And so did the girls. And I thought, do I remember her boobs being quite that big?
She was in here, right?
She was in here.
Petite is how you describe her.
Yes. And then you saw the photos. Is that a boob job?
Heaving. It is a heaving bosom. And it's on display.
Yes.
You just do the boob display math. She never wore low-cut dresses and put her boobs on display. All of a sudden, they're on full display, which means she has a new trophy to show off for her friends.
Yes.
For most women, I won't say this because my wife has them, and she would never in a bazillion years. But have you ever seen chicks get a boob job and then go, hey, feel these? You wouldn't believe how real they feel.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing. Chicks that wouldn't do that in a million years. No, look, don't they look real? It's like, are you crazy?
Well, because it's not them that you're touching, or at least that's their retarded math.
And that's the, yeah. Or they just feel, yeah, that's exactly right. This isn't really me, so just look at my new toy.
Well, Pickler, if you're listening, bring those new babies in.
I'm going to get a penile implant.
The ace man's hand, take them for a little test drive.
If I get a penile implant, then I can just go up to chicks and go, no, feel this. Feel how real it is.
I'll touch it. Well, I'll squeeze it with an axe handle.
Well, here's who went home of the guys. Nick, he's gone. AJ Tabaldo, he's gone. And then Elaine Alexander. Elaine Alexander is probably the prettiest
of the
girls.
Hold on, BJ Tabaldi?
AJ Tabaldo.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's AJ Hammer. Listen, but he's gone too.
When you're bald and you're gay, come on now, buddy.
You're all going to need to shut up.
Okay, our sound guy doesn't have hair.
All right. He likes the fellas, but let's keep going.
Says he's straight. says he's straight. Now, speaking of straight, all the guys like this Elaine Alexander. She looks sort of like Sarah Michelle Gellar. She sang Not Ready to Make Nice by the Dixie Chicks on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't good enough for America. They sent her packing.
Oh. Got rid of the hot chick.
Yeah. There's still that other hot chick, Antonella Barba. She's the one with all the pictures on the other. She survived a rather unpleasant performance of Because You Loved Me. She's very popular online, and maybe that helped her.
Yeah, and got into it with Simon as well, and still she remains.
That was weird. She got into it with him about Jennifer Hudson.
Well, I'd never really paid attention to the show. You know, you've got to see it every now and again so you can talk about it on your show. It's been a pop culture show for the whole time I've been on radio in L.A. You kind of had to talk about it. So every now and again you'll see it and go on. But I've never seen anybody get into it with Simon too much and then stay.
Yeah,
very
unusual. They usually go because Simon's not very clever, but he can sway those voters.
Well, he's essentially the best attorney, and he is beating you because you don't have a law degree.
Right.
Yes.
And you're representing yourself, and that never works out, especially when yourself is 19 and hot.
It doesn't work that well at 25, 30, or 37.
Oh, sorry, Danny.
Well, Sanjaya, who's the really young kid who everybody thought his performance was awful, and Simon hated him, he survived, but often the really young ones get a little few extra votes because young kids vote.
Only the good die young.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that one.
Chris Rock. Very interesting Chris Rock story. He issued a statement yesterday saying that everything is fine between him and his wife. The two of them were on Oprah on Wednesday acting like a happy couple, but some inside sources are saying that he's only pretending to still be with his wife because he has a movie coming out called I Think I Love My Wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want any divorce, you know, to happen before this movie comes out. You might remember that back in November, there was talk that the Rocks were headed for a divorce, but then that died down. So now the rumor is saying that the trouble is that the friction in the household is being caused by Kerry Washington. She played the wife of Ray Charles in that movie, Ray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know that actress? Apparently, she's in this movie with Rock. And their friendship is causing some trouble.
Wow.
I
believe it.
I got to say this. I know I just sound jealous because I'm a comedian and Chris Rock, at least a few years ago, but even today, always gets brought up in the same breath as all the greats. You know, yeah. Funniest. Who is the funniest person alive? You stop 30 people on the street, 10 of them might say Chris Rock.
Wow.
Here's my argument. How can you be amongst the funniest human beings on the planet? And once in a while, time or life or whatever will do one of these things where they pick the 50th funniest people, and he's always up there, the right. safe bet. How can you make 12 of the unfunniest goddamn movies that were ever put out in theaters? How can you consistently crap out horrible, horrible, unfunny movies and still retain that title as the funniest guy in the world? Well, people go, well, his stand-up.
Yeah,
his stand-up is funny.
Stand-up.
Yeah.
Fine. I've seen 20 minutes of his stand-up and 150 hours of his horrible goddamn movies. Now, at what point do you drop a couple of ranks for doing horrible ideas? And then people do this. They go, well, those movies weren't his idea. So we don't hold it against him.
Right.
Perhaps he should get involved with the script writing process, or maybe he should pick his movies just a little bit more carefully. Either way, you don't get to crap out stinker after stinker after stinker after unfunny movie after unfunny movie and still be the funniest guy on the planet.
I agree with you.
Absolutely. I think I Love My Wife hits theaters March 16th,
by the way,
so you know.
I would judge completely differently. I would judge on, like, what we do. How funny is Chris Rock when he's not on stage or reading lines? Can he come in here and do 4 hours with very little, no script of any kind, and be funny consistently every day for years at a time?
Sadly,
gets
yes.
My vote.
Sadly, yes.
I was just thinking
damn.
The same thing. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
Well, and listen, I love Chris Rock like he's a brother. I'm just saying. All right, I'm just saying.
God bless him.
Okay, and the same with whoever, Nick Cage or whoever. How many crappy movies can you do and still be, hey, man, he was great in Leaving Las Vegas? Yes, that was 27 years ago. He's done 150 horrible movies since then. All I'm saying is when do we drop these guys from the rank of deity down to just human being? How many crappy movies do they have to spring out of their loins? All right. Speaking of crap, Brian, or BJ McBaldy, as we know him here, he has a treat for you kids, and it's going to be a treat for me, too. Yes, he collects sound bites all month long, and he plays you what he thinks
I'd
is
be dazzled
best.
Those front pockets myself.
He plays them at the end of the show. He'll play what his favorite is, and then we'll hear his right. B-side, his follow-up, his number two, and oftentimes those are funnier than the first one he chose. Well, we have a nice best of his B-sides coming up next. Yes, it is a month worth of drops next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ooh, that sounds good. Oh yeah, what you're about to hear is powered by the men of the square table, who want you to know that the garage fridge is for beer only. Duh. Miller Lite. Good call.
Next week, the Adam Carolla Show is live in Las Vegas for the Miller Lite Rockin' Racing Weekend, featuring Miller Lite NASCAR driver Kurt Busch, the number one Asian big boob queen Minka, 40 of the hottest strippers in Las Vegas, and Carrot Top, Thursday, March 8th at the Palms Hotel, fueled by Sauza Hornitas Tequila, TravelWorm.com, Subaru, and Miller Lite. Good times. The Adam Carolla Show.
Go down, girl!
All right, we will be fast because we got a lot of mirth to make here. Now, as I said, Brian, BJ Baldinger over here, he collects all the B-sides and all the drops and all the stuff, and we're going to play best of the last few months, the stuff he didn't play at the end of the show. First, it is Friday. It is Crank Yankers. It is MTV2. And let's play a quick one of these. Then we'll do that. And then we'll sandwich it with another one me and Dr. Drew did. First, Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy, who was here yesterday, does one calling a gay bar as his 40s guy.
Boots. Is this Boots and Saddle?
It is.
My name is Dick Rogers. Do you hear?
Yeah, Dick.
Close your pie hole and open your ears, Bubba. Have I ever got a bone to pick with you? Listen, I'm at your establishment last night, and these fellas keep looking at me. They keep ogling me. I got to hunt your clubs lousy with sweet fellas if you catch my drift.
Oh, my friend. I mean, then you picked the wrong establishment.
Let me tell you something. Where I come from, a fella goes to a bar to throw back a bourbon or two, watch a ball game, maybe talk to a pretty lady. Your joint served me my bourbon with a paper umbrella, had a Streisand picture on the set, and the only lady I talked to was named Carl. What gives, I tell you? What gives?
Hey.
Where's all the skirts and dames?
I have no idea. I don't like women. I don't look at women. I don't need women.
Well, fella, I need women like I need booze. I'll tell you that right now. And every red-blooded male that I've ever met says the same.
Well, I'm a red-blooded male. I'm a tax-paying, hard-working man, and I like...
I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
You probably wouldn't be able to f*** your way out of a paper bag.
I could f*** my way out of a cardboard box.
Well, if you got big muscles and a big why don't you come on in?
What's your sign?
You see there?
Oh, wait a minute. What the hell is going on? See, this is what you people do, isn't it? All the bars in this town, and I got to walk into this sissy hole. Why, I ought to... I'm slightly intrigued, but that don't mean nothing yet.
Starts going down.
Why don't you come on in? My name is Ed. I'm a pretty muscular guy.
You're felching up the wrong leg, fella, let me tell you.
Come on. You're probably getting a little boner right now.
My God, I haven't had this feeling since summer camp.
You see there, buddy? Why don't you come on in and explore?
What in God's name is happening with my body?
I'm telling you, why don't you come on in and let us really explore where you're at?
Now, this is crazy, Dick. You like dames. You understand? You like dames.
It's okay to like guys, too.
Oh, look, my Maltese Falcon is doing a military salute.
You see there? Come on in, buddy.
No, no, no. What's your name?
My name is Ed. Why don't you come on in, and next thing you know, when somebody's, looking down at your wanker, and your wanker is feeling good...
Ed, would you do me a favor? Would you say wanker one more time?
Wanker.
Would you say it again?
Wanker.
Would you say it again, Ed?
Wanker.
Ed, would you say it one more time?
Wanker.
Oh, God! Oh, God! What was that? What just happened? What in God's name just happened? Oh, God, brand new pair of loafers. Good God.
You see there? You knew you wanted to do that.
Ed, let me tell you something. I'm going to come down there and make out with you, but I want you to do something. I want you to keep those gay guys away from me, all right?
That sounds like such a great idea.
I'll be the straightest guy who ever Ed.
Explore those feelings and come on in.
Ed, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Goodbye, Ed.
Oh, the genius of Seth MacFarlane and his 40s guy.
Yeah, 40s guy.
Great character. All right, speaking of great characters, Brian has all the drops fit to print from January, and here are the B-sides.
You really suck today.
Hey, I'm gay, and I'm marrying a woman who was formerly a woman but is now a man. Jeez, Brad Pitt looks so good with a shirt off. I don't think I could ever look that good. I need some eggs and some sperm pronto. I was with two men last night in a dream. What is that guy doing in my car or doing to my face or doing to my ass? My husband is gay, and I'm a beard, and he cannot achieve an erection while I'm present.
Lower your voice. You don't have to talk so much. You always have an opinion on everything. I've heard this before. Don't talk so much. I'm a has-been still. I'm the transvestite guy.
Yeah, show me on this doll where daddy touched you.
I'm going to rub Miracle Whip all over your tanned ass and make sweet love to you. And I don't care if Chris Hansen interviews me in your kitchen before I do it.
My name is Mrs. Bonaducci. I would bite a hunk out of his face that would never heal. Danny Bonaducci's gay.
Danny, I'm in the trash can. I'm still fine.
Hey, let's go lynch that N-word.
You are such an incredible a-hole.
You don't put black people together without supervising them.
Wow, that was an a-hole move.
I'm not Kevin Costner. I don't care if my nips match exactly.
Well, back in my day.
Hey, I'm wasted. Let's drive.
Where are my wife's boobies? I love big jugs.
Sweet. Piece of ass.
Oh, this is too much funny for the computer.
Chew him down.
What do you want, the Dirty Sanchez? You want to ghost ride the whip?
Take out my wang and do something to it.
Do you want
to
play this game, or do you just want to start sucking?
I'm going to bone this huge girl. You got to see this.
We look like jack-offs, but let's keep going now.
I'll never, ever go away.
Wow. Well, we had some technical difficulties, but nice.
Only for a moment. It was nice.
Nice job, Ryan. And now to bookend the mirth with another oldie but goodie from Crank Anchors. MTV2, everybody, tonight, 10 o'clock.
10
one I did with Dr. Drew. I'm not even sure if it needs any setting up. I think it's sort of self-contained. This is me and Dr. Drew calling a Loveline caller.
Hello?
John?
Yes.
John, this is Adam Carolla.
How you doing, Adam?
It's Dr. Drew, too.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
John, I'll tell you what we're doing and why we're calling. We're banking some phone calls for the best of shows that we run over the holidays.
Uh-huh.
So we'll just do the call same way we normally do.
And you just jump in with your problem, and we'll just take it from there.
All right.
Roll tape.
Good touch.
John, you're 21. Welcome to Loveline. Hey, what's your problem?
About 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend and I decided that we're going to get married. Everybody was fine with it except for my mother, and she's going crazy about it. And
what's the problem she has?
She can't believe that I'm only 21 and I'm already
Hold
getting
a
married.
Stop tape. It'd be great if there was a bigger problem. It'd be great if there was something like drugs,
alcohol, pot, heroin.
You know what I mean?
Well,
because
we're doing
best stuff.
Here we go.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's take it from Drew asking if there's any other problems. We'll splice it together.
There you go.
Roll tape.
So, John, anything else going on in your life that your mom might be concerned with that she wants you sort of sort out before you get married?
It started about 3 years ago.
What'd you do?
Did a little bit of LSD, and then we started doing a little bit of speed.
Speed. That's what I thought. God knows what he did to get the money for the drugs, Drew.
Oh.
You know
no,
what I'm saying?
No, it never went that far.
Stop tape. John?
Yeah.
I think turning tricks, male prostitution, something like that.
Yeah.
Roll tape. John, you must have had to do some horrific things in order to feed that drug habit of yours, in order to get the money, yes?
Yeah, I moved to Atlanta and started working there as a male escort.
And escorting men or women?
Women. No men.
Stop tape.
Come on. Women do not use male escorts. They just don't.
Let's just pick it up again. Escorting women or men?
Both. You know, I had to do the guy thing every now and then.
Stop tape. Just men. Believe me, it's a more provocative call.
Straight men?
No, not straight men.
Straight men.
Gay men. Okay, ready? Escort? For women or for men?
For males.
Males. And how many men would you see in an evening?
Maybe 3 or 4.
Oh my God.
Enough to support the habit. Put a little food in my mouth.
You had more than food in your mouth, brother.
Hey, were you the receptive partner or the pitcher?
More often the giver than the taker.
Stop tape. John?
Yes.
If you were the taker more often, it would probably be more provocative for our listeners. All right, keep going. So, giver or taker?
There came a few problems.
John, are you in a diaper right now?
I've moved out of the diapers. I've gone some more, these panty liners down there now.
I'm disgusted.
Yeah, me too. John, you're a horrible, horrible man. You sicken me.
I mean, guys.
Excuse me, I've got to go. I'm going to vomit.
You made Drew vomit for the first time ever.
Really? On the show? Oh, great.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for trying to help.
Good luck.
That's how we would do the best stuff.
You would call the people.
Yeah, that's how they'd say. How do you get all those crazy calls? Oh, that's how we do. We'd set them up that way.
How'd you get? I mean, that guy was good too, though.
He was, but I just love the fact that he started off as an escort, a straight escort. Then he went to gay. Then he went of his top, and then he got to bottom.
He started. I was married too young. That was like
yeah. It was the first question was about a marriage and who
now
to invite.
He's wearing a diaper.
He ends up in a panty liner.
He was great.
Good times is how we like to describe that. We'll take a quick break. Be right back to wrap it up.
See what's coming off at the Spearmint Rhino in City of Industry, Torrance, and Van Nuys. Visit SpearmintRhino.com. Perfect for bachelor and birthday parties. I'll see you at the Rhino. Spearmint Rhino.
Well, I want to thank you all for tolerating the show and thank Joel McHale and Madam Baby Doll and the rest of our sweet, sweet guests. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. I will fire all you lemmings if you don't vote for my hairy ass.